KRC News Time, 12 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Sam Litzinger. President Bush says the U.S. is ready to hand Saddam Hussein over to Iraqi officials as long as it's clear he'll stay behind bars.
We're working with the Iraqi government on a couple of issues. One is, you know, the appropriate time for the transfer of Saddam Hussein. And secondly, we're working to make sure there's appropriate security.
Mr. Bush is playing host to Afghan President Hamid Karzai, a man he praised as a leader in the war on terrorism. Another deadly day for foreign workers in Iraq. Attackers fired on a convoy of contractors, killing several people. Just yesterday, five foreigners and eight Iraqis were killed in a car bombing. Don't expect the bottom to fall out of gasoline prices, but the Energy Department says they should continue a steady decline over the next few months. The national average for a gallon fell 3 cents last week, but it's expected to stay above $2 for a long time to come. I'm Sam Litzinger, NBC News Radio.
When I saw how beautiful she was, I thought, this is just icing on the cake.
He put his things down and kissed me, and he said, not only is your heart beautiful, but you're beautiful on the outside also.
She took my breath away.
Hi, this is Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. Sometimes a simple love story says it all.
I have found someone to love me unconditionally.
It's emotional, spiritual, and physical.
This is the best I have felt in my life.
At eHarmony, we'd sure like to help you have that feeling of being in love with your soulmate. That's why at eHarmony, we match you on the deep dimensions of compatibility that make for relationships designed to last a lifetime.
This man is everything that I have ever dreamed of.
Let eHarmony help you find the love of your life. Log on to eHarmony and take our $40 personality profile. Yours free when you log on today. Lot of happy couples out there thanks to eHarmony.com.
Winner of 8 Associated Press Awards for journalistic excellence, including Best Newscast. Award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 82 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Some people are upset with some comments made by the CU president. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic. Here's Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Pretty decent drive around town as we get the main section of the lunch hour underway here. Southbound I-225, normal lunch hour slowing from Parker Road on down toward I-25. Speeds there in the teens and 20s, according to the CDOT map. No accidents on the interstates. 26th and York, though, in East Denver, an injury accident. Another one coming in from 8th and Claremont. That's a minor collision. And Denver police cleaning up an injury accident southbound on Peoria at 45th Avenue. That is just north of the freeway. Xantex 3 with the information. It's the most powerful diet pill in America. More weight loss, faster weight loss, energy to burn. It's available at stores nationwide or log on to Xantex3.com. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Comments from CU President Betsy Hoffman have come to light and left many upset. Hoffman was asked during a deposition if a certain foul term against women was, quote, a filthy and vile word. While Hoffman did say the slur was a swear word, she also said its meaning depends on the circumstances and that she's heard it used as a term of endearment. At a State House news conference this morning, Colorado Governor Bill Owens had this to say about Hoffman's comment.
I am concerned that all of us in public life do our best to represent the state of Colorado, and I think I understand the context of what President Hoffman was trying to say, but I won't comment on it any further than that.
Hoffman's answers were in response to questions from an attorney of three women who filed suit against the school on grounds of sexual assault at the hands of CU football players or recruits. A university spokesman says that while Hoffman knows the current use of the term is negative, its original use in centuries past was not. This report brought to you by AutoZone. A proposed rezoning clearing the way for a Thornton Walmart is expected to pack city council chambers tonight. Lots of local residents opposed to the store, which the company wants to build at I-25 and 136th. The Denver City Council has given its full approval to the revitalization plan for East Colfax. The plan calls for a mixed-use development and new transportation planning. The plan's approval by the City Council is just the first step. In sports, the Colorado Rockies start a three-game homestand against the Boston Red Sox tonight. Joe Kennedy on the mound for the Rocks. Early bird special at AutoZone. Hurry this Saturday only from 6 to 10 a.m. Save 20% on Duralast truck toolboxes and Coleman 18-volt power tools. Hurry in while supplies last. Only at AutoZone. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is next. KNRC News Time is 12:04.
No matter what happens, where it happens, or how it happens, get the information you need here first. AM 1150, KNRC.
Why are so many homeowners so cool and calm these days? Because when they needed air conditioning, they knew just what to do. Call your Rheem dealer. Rheem dealers install top-quality, energy-efficient Rheem products. So relax.
Call Team Heating and Air Conditioning for all your heating and cooling needs at 303-286-1589.
Hi, I'm Bill Doyle, owner of Team Heating and Air Conditioning, and I'd like to help you enjoy the benefits of an air-conditioned home this summer. We offer honest pricing, good service, and no gimmicks at Team Heating and Air Conditioning. We can give you a quick quote over the phone and stand by it by asking only a few simple questions. Next-day installation is always available. You will receive a free programmable thermostat with installation and be eligible for a $350 rebate from Xcel. Call me today, Bill, at 303-286-1589. That's 303-286-1589.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Becoming partly cloudy out there for today with an isolated afternoon storm, 85. Scattered storms continue during the evening, but then we'll see some scattered rain showers overnight, down to 50. A cooler one tomorrow, 61 degrees are high, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain. And a partly cloudy morning for Thursday, then those clouds thicken up with a chance of rain showers and isolated storms, and a high of near 70. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150, KNRC.
Mostly sunny and 78 now. KNRC News Time is 12:06. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150, KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock, and we really have a wonderful show for you today. We are going to be joined by two really first-class authors, and that will all happen in the 2 o'clock hour. We will be joined by Edna Buchanan, who is a fabled crime reporter and a crime writer, and she has won a Pulitzer Prize for her work, and she's now just doing novels, I think. And also we're going to be joined by Richard Price, who has written Sea of Love and Clockers and, you know, just a lot of really fabulous books. He's done a lot of screenwriting as well, and he has a new book out called Samaritan. Edna has a new book out called Cold Case Squad, and I think that one of them or both are going to be at Tattered Cover Cherry Creek tonight, and I'll give you more information as we proceed. Friday, we are going to be live from Aspen Food and Wine, the Food and Wine Classic at Aspen. I think this is the 22nd annual. This is Food & Wine Magazine puts it on, and every fancy chef in the world is going to be there. And tomorrow I have jury duty, so Billy Thorpe is going to be filling in for me, and I don't know how long they're going to need me for. I hope not too long, because I have to go to Aspen the next day, so we'll see what happens. On the 22nd, David Brooks, who's the New York Times columnist, is going to be joining us. Lisa Scodellini, who has a book out, Killer Smile, will be joining us. And the 25th, we are going to be live from the Denver Press Club. So all of that coming up right here on Enid Live, AM 1150 KNRC, noon to 3, 5 days a week. Lots of things to talk about today, and I hardly know where to begin. First of all, I want to start out by saying that I see a front page story where Elizabeth Hoffman is quoted in today's Denver paper. I think it was in the Post. I saw it, or maybe it was in the Post, I think. And in the sworn statement to be paid that was made public today, University of Colorado President Elizabeth Hoffman said that a four-letter word, and that would be the C word, and you know what it is, referring to a woman's sexual organ, can be sometimes used as a term of endearment. Really? I mean, I guess anything can be used as a term of endearment. You miserable assassin can also be used as a term of endearment if it's said affectionately. But I'm not sure I have ever heard this particular word used as a term of endearment, and you may want to comment on that. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. The comment comes from Hoffman's latest sworn testimony in connection with a federal lawsuit against the university. The suit was filed by women who say they were sexually assaulted by CU football players and recruits. A lawyer for one of the women asked Hoffman about former CU kicker Katie Nida being called the C-word by a teammate. That player was later disciplined by coach Gary Barnett for making the remark. In the deposition, Hoffman was asked whether the C-word is filthy and vile. She said she knows the word is a swear word, but it's, quote, all in the context of what of how it is used and when it is used. She was asked, can you indicate any polite context in which that word would be used? Hoffman answered, yes, I've actually heard it used as a term of endearment. Well, I'm not sure I've ever heard it. Anything can be used as a term of endearment, but I can't say that I've ever heard it used as a term of endearment. You may want to comment on that. 303-382-1150. Has this word in your memory ever been used as a term of endearment? Elizabeth Hoffman, the C word. And I also want to talk about something that has happened around here. We have got a refrigerator thief, and you may have one of those at your workplace. Somebody who feels no compunction about walking into our refrigerator and taking anything that's not theirs. It's yours. And yesterday, Joe's lunch got taken, and Tony DeSiri came up to Joe and said, I'm sorry for your loss. But I think every workplace has one of these people. This is really depressing. We've had about four incidents where people's lunches have been stolen out of the refrigerator. Now, this is a refrigerator that is so filled with cooties that if you opened it up, if John Ashcroft were standing there, I'm telling you, you open it up in front of him, he'd arrest you for bioterrorism. He'd be hauling you right off to the pokey. So here is my suggestion. I think we should get a cow pie. I think we should put it on a hamburger bun. Put a little ketchup and mustard on it, a couple pickle slices too, and maybe some onion to mask the odor in case there is any. Wrap it up in a McDonald's wrapper or some kind of a hamburger wrapper. Put it in the refrigerator with a little X-Lax topping and just see where you hear the next yowl come from. And then maybe possibly implant it with a microchip too. And just see if the paramedics aren't called post-haste. What do you think about that? 303-382-1150. And the reason I'm so steamed is I'm the one who bought lunch yesterday for the crew. So I pop for the lunch so that the crew doesn't conk out in the middle of this stellar broadcast, noon to 3, Monday through Friday. And what happens? Joe already had something to eat, and he was going to save it for after the show. And he goes to look for his sandwich, and it has mutated away. The sandwich has not grown whiskers so much as it has grown legs, and it has walked out of that cootie-laden refrigerator. So I want to know, how do you handle this in your workplace? And I guess the corollary question is, how do we keep the refrigerator clean? I wouldn't put anything in that refrigerator. I'm telling you, if you put anything in that refrigerator, you're going to have to call the paramedics. You're going to have to call 911 to resuscitate yourself and hope that you're alive after you eat it, because that refrigerator, I believe me, the health department should not get anywhere near that refrigerator. 303-382-1150. So two topics on the table so far, and perhaps they are related. I don't know. Elizabeth Hoffman, president of CU, says that the C word, I hope that's not the first half of CU. It is the first two letters, though, come to think of it. Oh, no. She says that the C word can be used as a term of endearment. Well, I suppose all things can be used as a term of endearment. 303-382-1150. And Jackie Mason, this is making its rounds. I'm going to share this with you in a second. Let's go to the phones. Mike, calling from Boulder. First time caller, welcome. And we have a kiss for you.
You have a what for me?
A kiss. It's for our first-time callers.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you.
You're welcome. A little on the cheesy side, but not nearly as cheesy as what's in our refrigerators. Yes?
So I've heard the C word used as a term of endearment before.
You have?
Yep.
Well, what kind of a crowd are you hanging out with?
You don't want to know. I hang out with a lot of derelicts, but it wasn't necessarily heard in my group of friends. But just as kind of like, you know, that's a fine C, something like that, and as not in a negative tone.
Oh, I see. I see what you're saying. Okay. It's like saying it's a fine woman.
Yeah.
The equivalent.
But the woman's got to be pretty rough to be able to, you know.
Are you
going to
say this to somebody's face? Or are you saying it behind their back?
I wouldn't say it either way, actually. But anything that would come out of my mouth would be I'd be able to say it in front of anyone that I was talking to, but I would not say that. But I've heard it.
You have heard it. Okay, Mike. Well, thank you for that and clarifying the record. How'd you find our radio show?
I was just seeking through. I was actually looking for Alex Jones because he's so anti-government, but I found you and it sounded interesting.
Is this the first time you've listened?
Yeah.
Well, stay with it, Mike. It only gets better, and I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Okay, this is from Jackie Mason. This is making the rounds of the net. You know the comedian Jackie Mason, and you have to think of his real thick New York, Brooklyn-y kind of accent when he's saying this. But it's his take on Starbucks. You know, we all have talked about the latte factor, and everybody who writes these You Can Be a Millionaire in a Second books always says if you stopped buying your lattes every day, you could, you know, in 50 years, you would have save $1 million or something. They always have these figures. Well, here's Jackie Mason's take on Starbucks, and I think it's just great. You got to listen. You got to hear it in his voice. I don't do it justice. He says, if I said to you, I have a great idea for a business. I'm going to open a whole new type of coffee shop, and instead of charging 60 cents for coffee, I'll charge $2.50, $3.50, $4.50, and $5.50. Not only that, I'll have no tables, no chairs, no water, no free refills, no waiters, no busboys. Serve it in cardboard cups and have the customer clean it up for 20 minutes after they're finished. Would you say to me, that's the greatest idea for a business I ever heard? We can open a chain of these all over the world? No, you would put me right into a sanitarium. And it's burnt coffee. It's burnt coffee at Starbucks. Be honest about it. You get burnt coffee in a coffee shop, you call a cop. You say, it's the bottom of the pot. I don't drink from the bottom of the pot. But when it's burnt at Starbucks, they say, oh, it's a special roast. It's a special bean from Argentina. That bean is in your head. I know burnt. You want coffee in a coffee shop? That's 60 cents. But at Starbucks, if it's a cafe latte, $3.50. Cafe Creamier, $4.50. Cafe Suisse, $9.50. For every French word, another $4. Why does a little cream in coffee make it worth $3.50? Go into any coffee shop. They'll give you all the cream you want until you're blue in the face. 40 million people are walking around in coffee shops with pitchers of cream. Here's all the cream you want, and it's still 60 cents. You know why? Because it's called coffee. You want cinnamon in your coffee? Ask for cinnamon in a coffee shop. They'll give you all the cinnamon you want. Do they ask you for more money because it's cinnamon? It's the same price for cinnamon in your coffee as for coffee without cinnamon. 60 cents. That's it. But not in Starbucks. Over there, it's cinnamonier. $9.50. You want a refill in a regular coffee shop? They give you all the refills you want until you drop dead. You can come in when you're 27 and keep drinking coffee until you're 98, and they'll start begging you here. You want some more coffee? Do you know you cannot get a refill at Starbucks? A refill is $1.50. Two refills, $4.50. Three refills, $19.50. So for four cups of coffee, $35. And there are no chairs in these Starbucks. Instead, they have these high stools. You ever seen these stools? You haven't seen a chair like that high since you were two. 73-year-old Jews are climbing up and climbing and climbing to get to the top of that chair. And when they get to the top, they can't even drink the coffee because there are 12 people around one little table and everyone's saying, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. And then they can't off the chair. Then they can't get off the chair. Old Jews are begging Gentiles, mister, could you get me off of this? Do you remember what a cafeteria was? In poor neighborhoods all over this country, they went to a cafeteria because there were no waiters and no service. And so poor people could save money on a tip. Cafeterias didn't have regular tables or chairs either. They gave coffee to you in a cardboard cup. So because of that, you paid less for the coffee. You got less, so you paid less. It's all the same at Starbucks. No chairs, no service, a cardboard cup for your coffee, except in Starbucks. The less you get, the more it costs. By the time they give you nothing, it's worth four times as much. Am I exaggerating? Did you ever try to buy a cookie in Starbucks? Buy a cookie in a regular coffee shop. You can tear down a building with that cookie. And the whole cookie is 60 cents. At Starbucks, you're going to have to hire a detective to find that cookie. And it's $9.50. And you can't put butter on it because they want extra. Do you know that if you buy a bagel, you pay extra for cream cheese in Starbucks? Cream cheese, another 60 cents. A knife to put it on, 32 cents. If it reaches the bagel, 48 cents. That bagel costs you $3.12 and they don't give you the butter or the cream cheese. They don't give it to you. They tell you where it is. Oh, you want butter? It's over there. Cream cheese? Over here. Sugar? Sugar is here. Now you become your own waiter. You walk around with a tray. I'll take the cookie. Where's the butter? The butter's here. Where's the cream cheese? The cream cheese is there. You walk around for an hour and a half selecting items, and then the guy at the cash register has a glass in front of him that says, chips! You're waiting on tables for an hour, and you owe him money? Then there's a sign that says, please clean it up when you're finished. They don't give you a waiter or a busboy. Now you become the janitor. Now you have to start cleaning up the place. Old Jews are walking around cleaning up Starbucks. Oh, he's got dirt too. Wait, I'll clean his up. They clean up the place for an hour and a half. Starbucks can only get away with it because they have French titles for everything. And I say this with the highest respect because I don't like to talk about people. Starbucks. I think they must know this is going around on the internet about them. Jackie Mason. What is your take about this? I think he is so right. I think Starbucks is so pretentious. I think it's pretensioso. 303-382-1150. So here are the weighty subjects that we're beginning with today. Elizabeth Hoffman's use of the C word, which she says could be a term of endearment, and Mike, our caller, seconds that. We're talking about refrigerator thieves at your place of business. I'm telling you, I think we need to implant a microchip into all the food in the refrigerator. And when it starts beeping, when the wrong person has carried it off, then we'll know who to haul off to the pokey. I think my brilliant idea is a cow pie in between a hamburger bun. And a hamburger bun with mustard and ketchup and pickle chips and onion. And wrap it in a McDonald's wrapper or some kind of a restaurant wrapper. Put it in a bag. And let the thief have at it. And a little X-Lax on the side. That's what I said. A little laxative on the side. A little X-Lax brownie on the side. 303-382-1150 and Starbucks. The more French words they use, a cinnamonier, the crémier, it's another $4 for every French word they use. What do you think? 303-382-1150. I'm Mina Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Where will we send Justin next?
What's going on here?
Find out by keeping your radio locked in at AM 1150 KNRC. KNRC.
Velcaro Paint and Decorating hopes you'll forgive us for bragging a little. We've won an award. And because the environment is really important to us, we're pretty proud of it. Velcaro, a Benjamin Moore dealer, was recently named a recipient of the Environmental Achievement Award by the state of Colorado. What's our achievement? It's the Wet Paint Color Swatch program, which Velcaro pioneered nationally. As you know, choosing the right paint color is usually by trial and error. In the past, consumers had to buy an entire quart to get a sample. Wrong colors often get tossed out and eventually make their way into the environment. But Velcaro offers 1.5-ounce paint swatches, enough to cover 4 square feet, and more than enough to make the right decision. They're inexpensive and come in more than 6,000 colors, including our entire Benjamin Moore line. Wet paint color swatches. Good for you, good for the environment. From Velcaro Paint and Decorating, a Benjamin Moore quality paint dealer. 5475 Leechdale Drive, just one block west of Holly. Online at velcaro.com.
I'm Hazel Miller, Colorado's Queen of the Blues. Join me for opening night and Lakewood's Sounds Exciting Summer Concert Series. I kick off the season at 7 p.m. Wednesday, June 23rd. KNRC is a proud sponsor of the Sounds Exciting Series that features some of Colorado's best artists live under the beautiful summer night sky. The lineup includes Chris Daniels and the Kings, presented by KCUV, Dotsero, Lanny Garrett, and many more. Go to www.lakewood.org or call 303-987-7845. For more information.
Hi, it's John Rizzi, editor of Colorado Avid Golfer magazine. Do you love golf as much as I do? If so, join me and physical golf's Neil Walkadoff for On the Tee every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on 1150 KNRC. We'll talk about how to play, where to play, and what to play. We'll go inside the tour, across the state, and around the country, bringing in guests from the world of golf. And we'll take your calls, too. Even give you a shot at winning something. So join our twosome every Saturday morning at 8 on the tee at 1150 KNRC.
I'm Nanette Hansen, CNBC Business Radio. Stocks trading higher at this hour. The Dow up 62 points. The Nasdaq trading higher by 33 points. Mixed news on inflation today. Soaring energy and food costs fueled the biggest jump in consumer prices last month in 3.5 years. However, the so-called core index, which excludes those two elements, showed just a modest increase. Federal Reserve policymakers watch that core number closely for inflation trends, and investors now think the Fed will decide on just a measured rise in interest rates at their meeting 2 weeks from now. Fed Chief Alan Greenspan, meanwhile, spoke before the Senate Banking Committee today, saying the central bank must be ready to deal with a large number of possible threats to the economy, including terrorism. It's expected he'll be reconfirmed by the Senate for a fifth term sometime this week. And several major websites inaccessible for 2 hours today. The company that distributes Yahoo, Microsoft, and Google blaming a large-scale international attack on Internet infrastructure. I'm Nanette Hansen, CNBC.
on Medicare? Want to save on prescriptions? Come into Walgreens and learn how you can save 25% or more with Walgreens Health Initiative's Medicare-approved drug discount card. Discounts vary by drug and pharmacy location. Call 1-800-533-7606 to find out if your prescription drug is covered and the discounted price. Pick up an enrollment packet at Walgreens and get ready to save. This card is approved by Medicare but is not a Medicare benefit. Price comparison based on Walgreens regular pricing as of March 2004.
I'm Jonathan Anton, owner of Jonathan's Salon, which can be seen on Bravo's reality show, Blowout. Take it from me, stress can make you lose your hair. I don't know this because I'm a stylist. I know it because I'm a small business owner. Fortunately, I also know which products promote healthy growth in both hair and business.
With Open, the Small Business Network, Jonathan Anton has the tools to make big things happen. To learn more about how Jonathan relies on the Open Network, go to open.americanexpress.com.
My name is Lucy. I work for the CIA. We've decided to put Enid Goldstein into the Witness Protection Program.
I can't tell you where,
but it's somewhere in Canada, out of the reach of President Bush.
Enid Goldstein, weekday afternoons from noon till 3 on AM 1150 KNRC. Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
1226 on the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. We're having all kinds of people calling in about Starbucks, the Starbucks experience. I don't know. Darren Gabbard, who is keeping us on the air today, and our technical director, he said anybody who pays $5, $6, $9 for a latte deserves what they get. 303-382-1150. Paul in Annasel, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I was just calling because I went into the Starbucks, two of them, one on 6th Avenue, one on the 16th Street Mall, and I asked for an iced coffee, and they say, we don't serve iced coffee. We have coffee here, right? And they say, well, yeah, can you pour coffee on ice? But we'll have to charge you for a frappuccino because we don't sell iced coffee.
You're kidding. You know what? Remember that routine from Five Easy Pieces that Jack Nicholson did? Did you ever see that movie?
I didn't see it.
Oh, he wants toast. She says, we don't serve toast. He says, I'm going to do it all wrong, but it's somebody who remembers the routine better. He says, you got a tuna sandwich? She says, yeah. He said, well, toast the sandwich. Okay. And then forget the tuna. You know, it went on for a while, so he finally got the toast. Well, why are you going there? Why are you paying?
Well, I was with friends, and it's not my favorite place to go. There's a lot better coffee shops that are a lot less expensive, and it's just that it's convenient, and you walk in there, and you do the Starbucks experience. You can't throw a rock in Denver without hitting a Starbucks.
That's true. Thanks, Paul. I appreciate the call.
Bye.
Somebody else just called to say that they go fill up their coffee mug, their KNRC Drive Talking mug, at the gas station, and then they go over to Starbucks and use their wireless internet service. I don't know if there's a charge for it or not, but it's a wonderful routine. And Jackie Mason is absolutely right when he says that spending $3, $4, $5, $10 for a cappuccino, wow, or for a cup of coffee, wow. It was reported that in certain parts of Denver or of Colorado, they only go to school in some of the rural areas. They're only going to school 4 days a week. Families love it. The school day is only 4 days a week. Families think this is really wonderful. There are 52 districts on a four-day-a-week shift, so it's a much longer day for kids, but then they get Fridays off, and the families like that because then they can all go skiing and do family activities. I don't know. What do you think about that? Does it matter whether you pack it into 4 days or whether you pack it into 5 days? If you're a teacher, I'm really curious to know. I guess the jury is still out. There's so much material that you have to master. I think that if you just have a different deadline, you just reconfigure what it takes to do it, and you maybe get that extra day off. On the other hand, having 3 days off like that, maybe you forget about what you learned last week. I don't know. But I was curious to know how this would work, you think, and how people respond, the idea of having that extra day off. A lot of parents seem to like it in these rural areas because then families can do more things. But I think if it were in Denver, then it would beg the daycare issue for a lot of parents, maybe. A lot of parents who work, they want to see that their kids are in school 5 days a week, whether they learn anything or they don't, and a lot of times they don't. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about Elizabeth Hoffman. Her use of the C word, or she was asked in testimony, whether or not the C word was a vile and filthy word, and she said she's also heard it used as a term of endearment. You may want to comment on that. This is regarding the football scandal at CU. Two of the letters, the first two letters, as it turns out, of the C word, come to think of it. So we're talking about that, and we're also talking about what you do in your workplace when you have people who walk away with the food that you put in the refrigerator. This has happened here about four times now, or five, at least in reported incidents, maybe more times than that. Why would you do it? I mean, that sense of arrogance that seems to pervade the culture, where if you're hungry, and, you know, think about food, food is an appetite. If you're hungry, it's like, oh, I'm hungry, so my hunger trumps your sandwich that you have brought, and therefore I'm going to help myself because, hey, I don't know any boundaries, and it belongs to us all or something. 303-382-1150. I was watching them. Dickie had a press conference, and boy, was he testy. Did you see it today? This morning, this is with Hamid Karzai from Afghanistan. Mister, I always wear a cape wherever I go, so I can fly away home soon. They gave a joint press conference, and they were talking about the handover of the government to, you know, the new sovereign, whoever it may be, the new sovereign government of Iraq, and what will happen to Saddam Hussein. And here's the question I want to pose to you. What will happen to Saddam Hussein in this new sovereign government? Well, they asked the question of Al-Sadr, who Dickie called the thug just a few weeks ago. Well, he's a thug. Well, now he's going to be part of the government. Will he be less of a thug? Thinking that you can bring someone in and co-opt them, and then you will reduce their thuggish quotient by a certain amount. I don't know that that's going to happen. This could be a bad move. But he said, hey, not my call. They're going to be a sovereign government. I may think the guy's a thug, but they can do what they want. Well, what happens if Saddam Hussein is turned over to the new government in Iraq? This is my question. And they decide they want to make him part of the government. Or they decide they're going to let him go free. And they're the sovereign guy. What would have been the point of us going in there to begin with? Or they say, you know what, he's the only guy who can really keep this country together because he was able to keep it together for so long. What if that happens? 303-382-1150. And then we say, well, you know, they're a sovereign government. They can decide anything they want. Ali calling from Louisville. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid, how are you doing?
Doing well.
I had a little distinction to make for you about the Starbucks thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is comparing a latte to a cup of coffee doesn't really make sense because obviously a latte is made from espresso, which is a lot more expensive than coffee.
I don't think espresso is a lot more expensive than coffee when you're buying a espresso beans.
If you go to a restaurant or, you know, before they
charge you more in the restaurant. But if you go get espresso beans, what do you get? What do you need for espresso? Coffee or certain beans?
A different bean, yeah.
A different bean, a has-been. I don't think that it's significantly, I don't think it's hugely more expensive than a coffee bean that you might buy.
If you were to make it at home, but, you know, just like, it's basically the McDonald's of coffee. It's not that much more expensive, but it's definitely not as high quality. I don't know if you've seen, they've already got a few drive-through Starbucks.
What's a McDonald's of coffee?
It's, you know, cheap, nasty, overpriced coffee.
Where? Like where? At Starbucks or at McDonald's?
At Starbucks. I see it as fast food coffee, you know.
Oh,
just
okay.
Like McDonald's is fast.
Well, you know what it is? I'll tell you what I think it is, where people go in and just a cup of a huge old grande. I like hot chocolate. And they do it okay. I don't think they do it brilliantly. And it's, I don't know, what is it for the big one? $5 or something? $3? $4? It's been a while since I've been in. It is ridiculous. But here's what you're buying. You're buying lifestyle. That's what you're buying. There's no waiters. Jackie Mason is exactly right. You want some cream cheese on that bagel? That'll be extra. You want a knife to spread it on? Oh, that'd be extra too. And then the guy's got the nerve. You got to bust your own dishes. And then the guy's got the nerve to have his tip jar out. Like, what tip did he give you? Buy low and sell high? What was the tip? The tip is go someplace cheaper. Thank you, Ellie.
I think that's against the corporate guidelines, actually, the tip jar.
Oh, it is? Well, thank you, Ellie. I appreciate the call. 303-382-1150. Laurie, first-time caller from Arvada, and welcome.
I'm excited because I don't normally call radio stations, but I'm just such a fan of yours.
Oh, thank you so much.
I've been listening for several months, and I just hope they always keep you on the air because there's just no liberal voices here.
Well, there are very few around the whole country, as a matter of fact.
I think it's depressing listening to talk radio anymore. Anything you listen to, it's just so depressing.
One of the, as long as you bring it up, one of the things, a petition that's making its way on the Internet, and I will go to it. I want to talk about this. But Rush Limbaugh is on Armed Forces Radio. Rush Limbaugh, not Al Franken, Rush Limbaugh. And there's a petition underway, Mr. I'm about to be divorced from both myself, reality, and the third wife. And he, I guess he said on this radio show, he was the one who asked for the divorce. So I, but this is going to,
I'm not surprised. I don't know why.
Ooh, it's going to be expensive. Ooh, it's going to cost him a few bucks. And ooh, she might write a tell-all if he doesn't come up with the goods.
Ooh.
Ooh, I can't wait. Anyway, we got to get him off of Armed Forces Radio.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I just like to see him off all radio, but that's just a personal opinion.
Okay.
Anyway, I was calling about the C word.
Uh-huh.
There is an Australian band called 30-Odd Foot of Grunts. It is.
What's the name of the band?
30-Odd Foot of Grunts.
30-Odd?
And it's actually, you'd know it probably better as Russell Crowe's band.
Oh, okay.
The actor.
Uh-huh.
They put out a DVD that chronicled some concerts they did in Texas in 2000. And they call each other the C word, they call objects the C word, all with affection or joking around. It sure seems harmless in that context. However, they're not calling women that, like Katie Nida was called.
Oh, I see. They're just using it. They're kind of defanging the word.
Yeah, really, truly. And I don't know if this is sort of a common Australian male thing. But
well, they're very testosterone-driven, I understand, in Australia.
Yeah, but it didn't seem, it seemed like just any word. It really didn't seem like it was in a negative context at all. But, again, they were not calling women that. They were calling each other that. They were calling objects that, you know.
It would be like using the, it would be like white guys calling each other the N-word but never using it to somebody who was African American.
Right.
Okay,
right.
I gotcha. Okay, Lori. So what
so
do you
maybe,
think?
Maybe,
so
was maybe, it, maybe Betsy, what's her name, has been to Australia recently.
Well,
maybe that was where she got.
She's been frying, and then they might as well put her on the Barbie, so we'll see what happens. Thank you, Lori. I appreciate that. Australia is so testosterone-driven. You go to a gas station, you try to get a gallon of gas, and I think it comes with an erection. I don't really know. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. Did you remember I had Dr. Ruth on from Book Expo? She was talking about that constantly. She's 4 feet tall. If you listen to her, she's got a book coming out. You know, she's the sex doctor. She was talking about erections, and she doesn't say her R's well because she's German. And so they come out, it kind of comes out oddly. But she said, and this is the most astonishing thing, she said that she was a sniper for the underground in Haganah in Israel before it became a state. And, I mean, she's really tiny, so I don't know. 303-382-1150. Ted, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I wanted to comment on the Starbucks.
Yeah.
And what I've noticed is the same kind of people, I call them yuppies, the same kind of people that go to Starbucks, they tend to be the same kind of people you see in the supermarket buying water in a bottle.
Wait a minute. These are the people in the checkout line of the supermarket who make a purchase for $1.29 and use a credit card.
Well, yes.
I hate it.
Yes.
It drives me crazy.
But Starbucks doesn't make their coffee with bottled water. They get it. So these people get their supply of tap water by drinking at Starbucks.
I got you, Ted,
Okay, now, let me tell you something else about water. If you call the Denver Water Authority or whatever they're called, the water company for the city of Denver,
yeah,
they will give you a plastic bottle that says Denver Water, okay? And you can put your water in that bottle right out of your tap.
Well, I love
refill it for free. And Denver's water tests as clean as any water that you can buy in the store.
There was a scandal, and I forget which water company it was, at one of the airports. They did a test of that water, and it had a hugely high bacterial count. And I thought, you know, why should I spend $2 for a thing of water that's got a high bacterial count when I can drink what's coming out of the tap, which we hope is safer and cleaner. Thanks, Ted. 303-382-1150. Lauren, welcome. First-time caller. Hi, Lauren. You're live with Enid.
The same back to you, Enid. And I really love your show.
Thank you.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. But anyway, I'm a senior. I don't drink coffee nor tea, but my husband drinks coffee. He's a real coffee lover. You can go to McDonald's, okay, and get a senior cup, which is their small cup, for 65 cents.
A senior cup? What is it?
A senior cup. It's a small cup of coffee.
Oh, why do they call it a senior cup?
Well, because I guess most people come in, you know, they want a larger cup.
Okay.
So I don't know, but it's a senior coffee. You just state you're a senior. Perhaps they offer that small cup to others.
I thought maybe it came with a paramedic attached to it.
Oh no, I don't think so.
Oh.
But in any case, you know, I just feel like this about the coffee situation. You know, since I am a senior, I think you shouldn't think about McDonald's coffee as fast food because they are bigger than Starbucks. They're all over the world. And they can afford to buy the best coffee. I've tasted it, and it tastes fine to me. And I've also tasted Starbucks coffee, and I don't like Starbucks coffee because it is so strong. It's strong as the law, okay? So that's what I think about it. I just think the young people, you know, they think they're getting something special, and you've got the French name, you know, the latte and all this kind of stuff. But to me, it just boils down to plain old coffee.
Thank you, Lauren. I appreciate the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Ina Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 83 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Some comments from the CU president have some people upset. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic. Here's Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Just getting word of an injury accident at Wadsworth and Hamden. Don't know what direction, don't know what roadway it's on, but a lot of emergency equipment is heading in there. Again, that's at Wadsworth and Hamden. Freeway traffic moving along in fairly decent shape. The disabled motorist northbound I-25 at Hamden sounds like he's in the point, so shouldn't be causing much of a problem for through traffic. Highway 7 in Cabin Creek and Allens Park, an injury accident should be just about cleaned up. Out in Aurora, Mississippi and Buckley Road, injury accident also in the clearing stages there. Post News Marketplace with the information. Right now you can get an auto classified ad in Post News Marketplace for as low as $39. Call 825-2525. Private parties only. Restrictions apply. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
During a deposition, CU President Betsy Hoffman was asked if a certain foul term against women was, quote, a filthy and vile word. Hoffman did say the slur was a swear word, but she added that its meaning depends on the circumstances and that she's heard it used as a term of endearment. This report brought to you by Quest Choice Business. They're expecting a packed house tonight when the Thornton City Council meets to discuss a proposed rezoning that will clear the way for a Walmart. Lots of local residents are opposed to the store, which the company wants to build at I-25 and 136. The City Council approved the idea in a first reading 3 months ago. Tonight's second reading will make or break the deal. Expect a delay if you're heading into the high country today. CDOT crews doing some rock scaling on Georgetown Hill. Until about 4:30 this afternoon, I-70 in both directions will be periodically shut down for about 20 minutes at a stretch between the Georgetown and Silver Plume exits. With no viable detours in the area, you'll just have to wait out those delays. Quest Choice Business, your business line plus any five features for just $39.99 a month. Over 100,000 small businesses have already signed up for Quest Choice Business, shouldn't you? We'll check the KNRC weather forecast next. KNRC News Time is 12:43.
Your summer passport for news and information. Identification, please.
Where talk happens. AM 1150 KNRC.
Enjoy your summer.
Jazz Aspen Snowmass presented by Janus Capital Group is where it's at from June 24th to June 27th. Quentin Marsalis, Natalie Cole, Al Green, Buddy Guy, Modesty, Martin Wood, and many more, including a free gospel concert with the Mighty Clouds of Joy Sunday at noon.
And I can't stop. I just can't stop.
Three shows on the Cooper Street Mall, JAS After Dark Shows, and Aspen Night Spots, including Syzygy, the Jerome Ballroom, Matsuisa, Club Chelsea, the Blue Door, and the Mill Street Club at the St. Regis.
It's crazy, but I'm in love.
Tickets available now at the Wheeler Box Office, 920-5770, or from the JAS Box Office at 866-JAS-TIXX, or online at www.jazzaspen.org.
Well, I'm a crawling king snake. And I'll lose my day.
Don't miss the big event in downtown Aspen, June 24th through the 27th. It's where it's at. For lodging and ticket packages, call 1-800-SNOWMASS.
Taking a look at the KNRC weather forecast, becoming mostly cloudy today. Some isolated thunderstorms possible this afternoon into the evening hours. Mostly cloudy skies overnight, low 50s for the overnight temperature. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy and a chance of rain. It'll be cooler, too. Tomorrow's high only in the low to mid 60s. Mostly sunny and 83 now. KNRC News Time is 1244. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
America's Department of Homeland Security wants to keep you informed during this war on terrorism.
Terrorism against our nation will not stand.
And AM 1150 KNRC is your best source in Denver when the government issues an alert. AM 1150 KNRC.
Been wondering how to get started investing in real estate? Call Mile High Capital Group. They're experts in rental duplexes, a great way for an individual to get started in real estate investing. They handle everything from finding the right lot in the right area where your new duplex can cash flow from day one, building the duplex, and even managing it for you if you wish. So this can be real carefree real estate investing. If you can afford just 10% down, about $30,000, you can be on your way to financial security. It's a fact. If you had acted on this investment strategy of investing in Colorado rental duplexes 10 years ago, you would have averaged nearly a 100% return per year for the last 10 years. Compare that to the stock market. Call Mike at Mile High Capital Group for complete no obligation details and tell them you heard about them on AM 1150 KNRC. 303-683-8500. That's 303-683-8500. Or visit them at milehighcapital.com. It may be the most important call you ever make.
The latest news, sports, talk, weather, and traffic.
I did a little research and I discovered a startling thing.
Where do you get yours?
Different, I'll give you that.
Here, Colorado Talk, AM 1150, KNRC. KNRC. To win at anything, you have to be smart.
Long-term responsibility.
You have to be strong and you have to be prepared.
United States of America.
When it comes to the coverage of Decision 2004, no station is smarter or better prepared to cover from all sides.
Ongoing operations in Iraq.
The connected and the elected.
Your source for Kerry versus Bush. AM 1150, KNRC.
The American people will be deciding this election.
Listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
He's lunging out the window, hanging out the window like some kind of rabid dog. And I mean, you know, I don't know. I got nowhere to go because we're in traffic. I threw the coffee at him just to back him up a couple of steps.
Here again, Enid Goldstein.
1247 on the Tuesday edition of Enid Live. We're talking about a bunch of stuff. We're talking about Elizabeth Hoffman, her use of saying that the C word when she was asked in a sworn statement today, whether that was a vile and filthy word. She said she's also heard it used as a term of endearment, and many of you have called in to say that it's used very casually in a lot of ways and that it can be a compliment. You can, I'm speechless, 303-382-1150, but apparently that's the case. We're also talking about Starbucks. What a pretentious place that is. Starbucks, where coffee, a 60-cent cup of coffee, the Jackie Mason routine here on Starbucks, where you're the janitor, you clean it up, you're having, there's no service, there's no water, there's no free refills, there are no waiters, there are no tables really. They serve it in cardboard cups. Customers got to clean it up. And for that, you're paying $2.50, $3.50, $4.50. For every French word, it's another $4. And it'll cost you a zillion dollars by the time you're finished at Starbucks. 303-382-1150. Also, on the press conference today, I watched President Bush, George W. Dickey Bush, with Hamid Karzai from Afghanistan. And Karzai, you know, swoops in his trademark cape, kind of like Superman. Well, he's only Superman of a very small part of Afghanistan because he's surrounded by hostility and warlords and everything else. And he's asked, and Dickey is testy. He is publicly testy. Now, Capitol Hill Blue, one of you said don't trust it. But Capitol Hill Blue swears in a copyrighted story that he's coming unglued. And I have never seen him so testy, publicly testy with the press. I thought he left a bad taste in everybody's mouth is what I thought. Did you see it? And he was asked the question what to do with Saddam Hussein. Well, what happens if the new government, which is supposed to be so sovereign, decides they want to let him go? He's going to be a free man. He can go live in Switzerland, where his money's probably located. That he can maybe run the country. Maybe they'll make him part of the government. Then what? If they're so sovereign, are we going to let this stand? 303-382-1150. Kevin, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. Yeah, you know, on Starbucks, I think you're, I mean, don't take this the wrong way, but you're kind of stooping to the lowbrow thing on this Starbucks. I mean, the nature of Starbucks is to provide a superior coffee drink, and they really pride themselves. And the difference between good and bad coffee is, of course, in the roast of the beans, because these beans, you know, a lot of places use the same beans from a lot of different places in the world. But it's the roast.
You can go buy beans. You can go buy beans anywhere and grind them yourself. How come?
Right.
What do you have to go to Starbucks for and sit there and pay $10 a cup?
It's the roast of the beans, and it's not $10 a cup. In fact, if you buy yourself like a venti latte, which is like the largest one, I think you're coming in just under $4.
$4 for a 60-cent cup of coffee? $4. How much does a wait? How much does a pound of beans cost of these good coffees? Because I buy them $9-$10 a pound.
Do you enjoy wine, Enid?
With or without the H. Wine.
Without.
We will serve no wine before it's time.
Do you like wine?
Yeah, I like a glass.
Do you like Boone's Farm?
Well, I'm not drinking Thunderbird, if that's what you're asking.
Okay,
me.
So you make a distinction between what's good wine and what's not so good wine.
Yes, but you go to a restaurant for a wine, for a glass of wine,
uh-huh.
And many restaurants will sell it by the glass. But we all
right.
know that
out
the market. Yeah, out of a box, but with a straw.
See, now we're talking about.
Oh no! Wait a minute. Now
quality.
No.
So,
let me tell you the markup when you go to a restaurant, you order a bottle, is often three times I think is what
yeah,
I've read.
Yeah, sure.
Now, those of you in the restaurant or wine business, you tell me what the markup is. About three times what you could buy it for if you go to a wine store or a liquor store, and. You're paying, I guess, the additional because they have costs, they have overhead, they have there are waiters or there's a wait staff, there's all kinds of stuff that's going on there.
Sure.
And now some restaurants will allow you to bring your own bottle in, and they charge you corkage, what they call corkage per person, so that it covers their overhead. But you're not paying the same markup on the bottle of wine. But I think to go into a Starbucks. To inhale the atmosphere and to be so cool and to pay $4 for a venti, I would be venting pretty good.
The world does not need Starbucks, okay, but the Starbucks is a finer thing, and some people can't appreciate it, and that's fine. They don't have to go there.
I don't think it's appreciably finer than any other good roast.
Then I would have to... respectfully say that you're missing some of the finer points about the experience.
Why not, if you're such a coffee connoisseur, why not get good beans, get a grinder at home,
I do, yeah.
And make your own coffee and
right.
put it in a
right.
put it in
and
a
I,
in an insulated
right.
container
I,
and take it with you.
Yes, I do, and I buy the best quality roast beans, which sometimes is Starbucks, maybe Peaberry, Seattle's Best. There's a whole variety of very high quality beans available, but there is a difference. But can I move on to a different subject?
Sure.
How about the C word?
Yeah.
As a term of endearment. Now, if I call George Bush the C word, I'm being kind to him, right? Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
You told us you needed more traffic reports during the morning and afternoon commute, and we listened. AM 1150 KNRC now provides you traffic reports at least 5 times each hour during mornings and afternoons. After all, we are the third worst traffic city in America. AM 1150 KNRC.
Fight the afternoon lull with Tasty Harvest Bar. Real fruit and healthy energy from whole grains and protein in 10 tempting flavors. Harvest Bar from Power Bar. Available at Albertsons.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live on Saturday mornings. Colorado Mills aficionados like us know how to navigate Colorado Mills Mall. Here's our tips.
When shopping for high style at low prices, we park by Neiman Marcus Last Call and enter door 2. From there, we cover the whole fashion district.
On the days I'm schlepping my teenagers, I park by Eddie Bauer, enter door 4, and shop at V-Generation and 303 Boards.
When Mr. Style Matters needs a treat, I park at Borders. Enter door one and shop at Perry Ellis, St. Croix, and Brooks Brothers factory stores.
With our families, we park by Jillian's, a huge entertainment center and restaurant, wander down the street and dine at California Pizza Kitchen or Yard House. Then catch a movie at United Artists Theaters or watch the kids at ESPN Skate Park.
Colorado Mills is easy to get to. Just 15 minutes from downtown off 6th and Indiana.
Or 25 minutes from the south on C-470 and 20 minutes from the foothills on I-70.
Check out ColoradoMills.com for store hours and great deals.
Colorado Mills, where great shopping lives.
And now with weather on the hour, here's meteorologist Jenna Moran.
Thanks so much, Tom. It looks like the jet stream will usher in temperatures way below normal. Clouds will be with us all this week. No sunshine is expected for quite some time. Also, heavy wind advisories will be in effect with a possibility for downed trees and power lines. But there is good news on the way.
What's that, Jenna?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Join the National Multiple Sclerosis Society for the 19th annual Great West MS 150 Bike Tour and get ready to rock the rampart. The two-day 150-mile adventure begins on Saturday, July 10th at Conifer and traverses the rampart range through Buffalo Creek, Deckers, and Woodland Park. Last year, more than 1,900 participants raised $1.7 million to end the devastating effects of MS. To learn more or join this year's MS 150 Bike Tour, visit www.fightmscolorado.org.
Allergy Relief plus Advil for sinus pain. Advance to Advil Allergy Sinus. Stop allergies that hurt.
What a beautiful day for a morning show, ladies and gentlemen. And they're on the air. It's early morning news and information, followed by traffic. On the outside, it's weather. Here comes clever conversation. Out of nowhere, it's quick wit and sarcasm. Back on the inside, it's caller, you're on the air. It's answer the question. It's more news headlines, and now a word from our sponsor.
Every morning, we make sure the odds are in your favor with Jimmy Lakey on AM 1150 KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
12:56 on the Tuesday edition of Enid Live. What is it, Maddox? The theme music for Maddox? What do I win? Nothing, because I couldn't guess it. You had to tell me the answer. We're talking about Starbucks, Pretensioso. And I'm getting a bunch of emails from you that the language at Starbucks, yes, I do know, it's Italian and it isn't French. Jackie Mason used French in the routine. I have been studying Italian because I'm going to be going to Italy in a little while, and I want to be able to not speak the language at a higher level. 303-382-1150, Mike in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, hi, Enid.
Hi, Mike.
I was calling about the previous caller was talking about Starbucks and wine and everything.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that's just part of the whole snob culture in this country. You know, everything has to be designer. Everybody wants, you know, to wear the fancy labels and
Can I say something about designer labels? Wearing somebody else's. I think that when you wear someone else's initials all over your body, it's an absolute advertisement for how insecure you are and how overpriced, how much you're, you know, overpriced the item is. How you're willing to pay bloated prices.
I want them to pay me for wearing their logo on my body.
That's right. If you're going to be a sandwich.
On cars and billboards and such. People in this country are just crazy for this stuff, and I don't understand it. It's like, go ahead, pay premium price for Nike shoes. You know, it's like, never mind the fact that they exploit children in China to make the darn thing.
Well, I think what the larger picture here is, and why people are willing to do it, is that we are sort of insecure, and in a way, advertisers have a vested interest in keeping us insecure so that they can sell us the things that they are going to tell us will make us feel more secure. Oh, if you wear Louis Vuitton or Calvin Klein or somebody's initials all over your body or Ralph Lauren, you're gonna be so cool. Or if you have just the right clothes on, or if you drive just the right car, or you have just the right makeup, or so on, you'll be a perfect person.
Yeah, that's right. And it's just a fallacy. And it drives me nuts. I mean, I was lucky enough. I went to Spain a couple years ago, and I was lucky enough to, I was studying, I was trying to learn Spanish. Because I'm from here, but I don't speak Spanish. And I'm Mexican, but, it was just something that I needed to do. So anyway, they have all kinds of different coffees. And the first time we're trying to order coffee was hysterical because we don't know what to order. There's like Cafe Cortados and Cafe, you know, Americanos and all these different varieties. And it's like, well, what do we want? We have no idea. It was hysterical. I guess you had to be there.
You know, anyway. You know what else is true about Spain? When I was there, and this probably has changed, but when I was there, there was only one cooking school in all of Madrid, and that is because how you learn how to cook in Spain is from your family. You don't enroll in cooking school. Mike, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. We're at the end of our first hour together. We have, lucky for you or me, we have two more hours with each other. And in this 2 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by two really first-class authors back-to-back. Edna Buchanan, who is the doyenne of crime writers. She has won a Pulitzer Prize for her reporting, Miami Herald. That crime was her beat. And Richard Price, you know him from Sea of Love and Clockers, and he has a new book out called Samaritan. And both of them will be joining us live in studio in the 2 o'clock hour separately. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Tuesday edition of Enid Live right here on AM 1150 KNRC. Two more hours. Keep it right here.
Hear Colorado talk. This is Colorado's locally owned and operated AM 1150 KNRC, Inglewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 1 o'clock.
He's ready to turn over Saddam Hussein to Iraqi officials, but he wants guarantees the former Iraqi leader won't escape. The country's interim president says he's working on that.
The United States is very keen to hand over the ex-president to the Iraqi authorities. We must first make sure that we can maintain protection for his life until he goes into trial.
The U.S. is scheduled to hand over power in Iraq at the end of the month. A visitor to the White House today, Afghanistan's President Hamid Karzai, came to thank America for helping his country. President Bush says Afghanistan is the first major victory in the international war on terrorism. Chairman Alan Greenspan says the Federal Reserve Board has to brace for another possible terrorist attack in the U.S. He says that's just one of the threats facing the American economy. Greenspan spoke to the Senate panel that's considering his renomination. I'm Carl Rochelle, NBC News Radio.
When I saw how beautiful she was, I thought, this is just icing on the cake.
He put his things down and kissed me, and he said, not only is your heart beautiful, but you're beautiful on the outside also.
She took my breath away.
Hi, this is Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. Sometimes a simple love story says it all.
I have found someone to love me unconditionally.
It's emotional, spiritual, and physical.
This is the best I have felt in my life.
At eHarmony, we'd sure like to help you have that feeling of being in love with your soulmate. That's why at eHarmony, we match you on the deep dimensions of compatibility that make for relationships designed to last a lifetime.
This man is everything that I have ever dreamed of.
Let eHarmony help you find the love of your life. Log on to eHarmony and take our $40 personality profile. Yours free when you log on today. Lot of happy couples out there thanks to eHarmony.com.
Winner of 8 Associated Press Awards for Journalistic Excellence, including Best Newscast, award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 83 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. CU President Betsy Hoffman is under fire for some comments she made. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Southbound Wadsworth at Hamden, a three-vehicle accident blocking the left turn lane. No injuries, apparently. And it'll take a few more minutes for that jam to loosen up. Also take a few minutes for the accident to get out of the way. Freeway traffic, by and large, moving along in fairly decent shape. Still some slowing southbound I-225 between Parker Road and I-25. Last check of the CDOT map, the speeds were averaging about 10 miles an hour. Spear and Auraria downtown, watch for an accident. Bit of an obstruction at Broadway and Alameda. Three drunks causing a problem in the intersection. Be very, very careful as you go through there. Work in pest control with the information. Just because you don't see carpenter ants doesn't mean they're not trying to turn your house into a sack of sawdust. Remember, if it bugs you, bug the Orkin Man at 1-800-ORKIN-MAN. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
During a deposition, CU President Betsy Hoffman said that while a certain foul term referring to women was a swear word, she also said that she's heard the word used as a term of endearment. CU sociology professor Joanne Belknap says Hoffman's remark was way out of bounds.
It was just so inexcusable and mind-numbing that when Barnett said called Katie Haneda a girl and a terrible player, thinking the C word could possibly be a term of endearment to me is way more extreme than what Barnett did, which is highly unacceptable.
A university spokesperson says that while Hoffman knows the current use of the term is negative, its original use in centuries past was not. This report brought to you by Verizon Wireless. Colorado law enforcement today received a $30 million boost for its Homeland Security and terrorism prevention efforts. The grants come from the Federal Department of Homeland Security. Walmart wants to build a new store at I-25 and 136 in Thornton, but lots of local residents are opposed to the new store. Many of those residents are expected to pack the Thornton City Council chambers tonight as a proposed rezoning will get a second reading. Council approved the idea in its first reading 3 months ago. Tonight's reading will make or break that issue. In sports, Joe Kennedy climbs the hill for the Colorado Rockies tonight as they start a three-game homestand against the Boston Red Sox. This is the first trip to Colorado for the Bo Sox. Now use your Verizon Wireless to download Alejandro Sanz's pictures and ringtones from his latest album, No Es Lo Mismo. To get Verizon Wireless service, call 1-800-256-4646. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is next. KNRC News Time is 104.
More and more Denver radio listeners are tuning to AM 1150 KNRC and our unique Both Sides Talk approach.
This is the only radio station that I have programmed into my radio at home.
I think it's absolutely wonderful that the station has as a goal that it wants to hear both sides.
Perhaps you'll be our next satisfied customer. Hear Both Sides Talk. Our personalities welcome opposing sides. AM 1150 KNRC.
I'd heard the horror stories from friends, scary tales of woe and desperation with never an end in sight for those poor souls involved. Tales of overruns, oversights, and overpricing. I admit I was scared to move forward with restoring and remodeling our house. Then a close friend told me about the great job Broadway Construction did with restoring her old house. I've seen the work. It's beautiful. And she told me working with Broadway Construction was anything but scary.
Broadway Construction works on residential and commercial projects of all sizes, from conception to completion, and they work throughout the Front Range, from Castle Rock to Boulder, and all points in between. Broadway Construction, complete construction services, done the right way, with Broadway. Call 303-926-4410. That's 303-926-4410. Or visit BroadwayConstruction.net.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. It's going to be a little stormy for us over the next couple of days, an unsettled forecast to finish out what's left of the work week. Isolated thunderstorms will be possible as we head through this afternoon and evening, and that puts us at risk for severe weather through tonight. A high of 84, a low of 51. We're looking for some showers and much cooler temperatures tomorrow, a high only of 60 and 67 for the high on Thursday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Mostly sunny and 83 degrees now. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 135 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live, and you are lucky. I'm yours until 3 o'clock because we have a couple of really fabulous guests lined up. I want to say something. You know, having been to Book Expo and seeing this huge, you know, a real plethora of authors. I mean, tons of authors with books coming out. I spent time with Jon Stewart. I went to the breakfast that he was great. He is so funny. I don't know how good his book is going to be, but he's hilarious. And he, you know, he does that fake newscast on Comedy Central, The Daily Show, which a lot of people really watch and get their news from instead of the regular. And I think maybe you will do better if you watch his show than some of these newscasts. But in any event, he was there. He'll have a book out. George Carlin has got a book coming out. Graydon Carter, who is the executive editor of Vanity Fair, will have a book coming out that's going to be very tough on the administration, even though Graydon Carter himself is under some fire because he puts people on the cover of Vanity Fair magazine, it is alleged, and then gets a kind of, you know, he works these deals so that his screenplays are, you know, are taken up in Hollywood for in exchange possibly for some of the other stuff that goes on at the magazine. I don't know. These are some of the allegations that are being made. But I realized that since we were really the only radio station in the country that I'm aware of broadcasting live, and I'm telling you, it was one big name after another. There was Julie Andrews, there was Jamie Lee Curtis, there was Gene Hackman, so a lot of Hollywood people have books on the market, and people who've been in television have books on the market, and everybody's got books on the market, it looks like. And I stopped to think about it. I thought, you know, there are very few radio stations, maybe NPR, Terry Gross, that's about it, who are looking at authors with any kind of regularity. You know, the occasional huge name that comes through town that everybody wants to get. But there are very few looking at authors the way we do on a regular basis. And so I hope you find this interesting. I would really like to get some feedback from you on it. So 303-382-1150. But Edna Buchanan, for example, is a crime writer. She started out as a reporter at the Miami Herald, as I told you. She has won the George Polk Award, which is a huge, very distinguished award for career achievement in journalism, and a Pulitzer Prize for police reporting. Her books have been translated into 11 languages. She lives in Miami. Her newest book is called Cocaine Squad, author of The Corpse Had a Familiar Face. So she writes these kinds of books that do very, very well, and she has been a distinguished journalist. And she was at a BookBeat luncheon today at the Press Club. And Richard Price, wow, well, he is really a big name insofar as his writing is concerned. He's written Sea of Love, The Color of Money, Clockers, a bunch of other books, some of them became screenplays, and his new book is called Samaritan. And I think he was doing some writing for television as well, and we'll be talking to him. So these are really two very well-known writers about whom much has been written also. And we'll be doing that in the 2 o'clock hour. In this hour, I've been getting some Starbucks emails from some of the rest of you. Starbucks doesn't have superior coffee, some of you are saying. I want to ask this question again, and then I want to go to Paul Krugman. The question I want to ask is this. In the press conference today, Dickey was really testy. And the Capitol Hill Blue, which one of you, Eric, emails me, said, don't trust it, use the second source. They're saying that Dickey is coming unglued. So I don't know if that's right or if it's not right. And that his father disagrees with him on the war. They're also reporting that. So whether they're sort of a National Enquirer on the other side, I really don't know, but it's stuff that I love hearing anyway. Well, it may be true that he's coming unglued, because I have never seen him so testy, so publicly testy with the press. He didn't even want to answer questions. At first he was just going to answer one or two and then take off, and then he said he would answer more, and he seemed indecisive, and he seemed all over the place. And if somebody asked two questions instead of one, he let them have it, and then he would answer the two questions, but then for some reporters he would only answer one question. I mean, he was really kind of nutso in the press conference, I thought. And the question was asked of him, what are we going to do with Saddam Hussein? Because the Red Cross, Saddam Hussein is a prisoner of war, and there are certain rules regarding the treatment of prisoners of war. The Red Cross has said you either got to charge him or you got to release him. And I guess we are waiting to hand him over to some sovereign entity, the sovereign government of Iraq, whatever it's going to be called, when we have one. And by the way, there was a big car bombing. And what did the police force do? They did nothing. They stood around. they don't want to get involved. So what happened? And so somebody asked a question about al-Sadr, who Bush called a thug. You know, that he's a religious leader. Bush called him a thug. Well, now he's going to be part of the new government. So Bush was asked about that. Well, he said they're a sovereign government, and with a sovereign government, they make their own decisions. What if this new sovereign government says, you know what, we're going to let Saddam Hussein go free. He can go to Switzerland if they'll take him and tuck in, settle in with his money. Or we're going to make him part of the new government. I mean, the Americans are going to look like they've got egg on their face. How many lives lost to get Saddam Hussein out of there only to be returned because the sovereign government wants him, or because he's the only guy who can keep the whole country together, or, I don't know, fill in the blank. I mean, this is all hypothetical, but what happens if the new sovereign government of Iraq says we're either going to let him go, or we're going to make him part of the government, or we're going to make him the head of the government. We'll make him minister of, I don't know, defense. 303-382-1150. Then what happens? Paul Krugman today in the New York Times, he starts out this way. No question, John Ashcroft is the worst attorney general in history. For this column, let's just focus on Ashcroft's role in the fight against terror. Before 9/11, he was aggressively uninterested in the terrorist threat. He didn't even mention counterterrorism in a May 2001 memo outlining strategic priorities for the Justice Department. When the 9/11 commission asked him why, he responded by blaming the Clinton administration, with a personal attack on one of the commission members thrown in for good measure, and that, of course, would be Jamie Gorelick, who then started getting death threats. Because these people who are such rabid religion, you know, the religious wrong, they can't wait to make death threats, and yet they call themselves so religious. They're so sanctimonious. Krugman goes on, we can't tell directly whether Ashcroft's post-9/11 policies are protecting the U.S. from terrorist attacks, but a number of pieces of evidence suggest otherwise. First, there is the absence of any major successful prosecutions. The one set of convictions that seemed fairly significant, that of the Detroit Three, appears to be collapsing. Then there's a lack of any major captures. Somewhere, the anthrax terrorist is laughing. Well, he's probably in our refrigerator, stealing our food, or seeding it with cooties, things that grow with whiskers on. Oh, you don't want to know. But the Justice Department, you'll be happy to know, is trying to determine whether it can file, listen to this, this is so weird, bioterrorism charges against a Buffalo art professor whose work includes harmless bacteria in petri dishes. This is a true story. So whoever it was that was sending anthrax through the mail, they're sitting there laughing up their sleeve while the government is going after a Buffalo art professor who's using simple bacteria in a petri dish as making an artistic statement. Perhaps the most telling is the way that John Ashcroft responds to criticism of his performance. His first move is always to withhold the evidence. Then he tries to change the subject by making a dramatic announcement of a terrorist threat. For example, of how Ashcroft shuts down public examination, consider the case of Sybil Edmonds, a former FBI translator who says that the agency's language division is riddled with incompetence and corruption, and that the Bureau missed critical terrorist warnings. In 2002, she gave closed-door testimony, congressional testimony. Senator Charles Grassley described her as, quote, very credible. Because people within the FBI have corroborated a lot of her story, he went on to say. But the Justice Department has invoked the rarely used state secrets privilege to prevent Ms. Edmonds from providing evidence. And last month, the department retroactively classified two-year-old testimony by FBI officials, which was presumably what Mr. Grassley referred to. And then he talks about the subject of Jose Padilla, you know, that he's supposed to have had a dirty bomb. And they brought Jose Padilla, he said, for an example of changing the subject, consider the origins of the Jose Padilla case. There was no publicity when Padilla was arrested in May 2002, but on June 2002, Colleen Rowley gave devastating congressional testimony about failures at the FBI, which, of course, reports to John Ashcroft, their failures before 9/11. 4 days later, Ashcroft held a dramatic press conference and announced that Mr. Padilla was involved in a terrifying plot. Instead of featuring Ms. Rowley, news magazine covers ended up featuring the dirty bomber, who Mr. Ashcroft said was plotting to kill thousands with deadly radiation. Since then, Jose Padilla has been held as an enemy combatant with no legal rights. But Newsweek reports that administration officials now concede that the principal claim they have been making against about Padilla ever since his detention, that he was dispatched to the U.S. for the specific purpose of setting off radiological dirty bombs, has turned out to be wrong and most likely can never be used in court. But most important is the memo, Paul Krugman writes. Last week, John Ashcroft, apparently in contempt of Congress, refused to release a memo on torture that his department prepared for the White House almost 2 years ago. Fortunately, his stonewalling did not work. The Washington Post has acquired a copy of the memo and put it on its website. Much of the memo is concerned with defining torture down. Listen to this. This will just blow your mind. They're going to define torture. If the pain inflicted on a prisoner is less than the pain that accompanies, quote, serious physical injury, such as organ failure, it's not torture. Let me give you this again. If the pain, this is what John Ashcroft's people have been up to, defining torture. We have been engaged in torture at Abu Ghraib and at Guantanamo, it looks like, as well. Torture. And we're defining it. If the pain inflicted on a prisoner is less than the pain that accompanies serious physical injury, such as organ failure. I mean, it is not torture. Anyway, Krugman writes, the memo declares that the federal law against torture does not apply to interrogations of enemy combatants pursuant to the president's commander-in-chief authority. In other words, the president is above the law. The memo came out late Sunday. Ashcroft called a press conference yesterday to announce an indictment against a man accused of plotting to blow up a shopping mall in Ohio. The timing was, I'm sure, Krugman writes, tongue firmly in cheek, purely coincidental. And do you remember about a week and a half or so ago when there were horrible things coming down in the news about what's going on in Iraq? Ashcroft and Mueller have a joint press conference. Remember, the FBI is under Ashcroft's jurisdiction. There's going to be an attack in the late summer, fall. We don't know when. We don't know where. We don't even actually know if. We're just going to have this press conference to divert your attention from what's going on in Iraq. And then Tom Ridge, Mr. Homeland Security, didn't know a thing about it. He said, oh, no, there's nothing going on. Well, there's nothing going to happen. So this is John Ashcroft. And defining torture, that it's not torture if the pain is less than what accompanies serious physical injury such as organ failure. Well, I would say that they're having brain failure in the department that wrote this memo. So anytime John Ashcroft is under any kind of scrutiny at all, he holds a press conference, trots out terrorism, and people get scared. And the people that should be on the covers of the news magazines, the people that should be making the headlines, are now pushed to the side because there's a new terrorist threat, according to John Ashcroft. When will these newspapers figure out the drill and figure out what to do about it? I think this is just another reason why you got to get rid of Ashcroft, and you got to get rid of the two dicks running the White House and Rummy, and get them all out, clean sweep. In November, 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. So what is going to happen if Saddam Hussein is allowed to go free, or if he's allowed to become part of the new government in Iraq? Will people even bestir themselves from the shopping malls long enough to register an opinion? Will people bestir themselves from the remote control long enough to register an opinion? You think people might start reading the newspaper once in a while? Because I think what people are doing, they're getting a kind of received wisdom from some of these radio commentators, the right wing, and there is a petition afoot to get Fatso, Mr. OxyContin, off of Armed Forces Radio. Now, why is he the only talk host allowed on Armed Forces Radio? This is taxpayer money. Why is he the only one allowed on Armed Forces Radio? Mr. Family Values, but I have been married three times, and I'm going to be looking for number four pretty quick. But we better have a prenup, is all I can say. Maybe he wasn't so much fun without the drugs. I don't know. He says on his, Mr. Gallant, he says on his radio show that he's the one who asked for the divorce. Well, you know, you can't fire me. I quit. 303-382-1150. I'm Ina Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Need a break from all the breaks on the other talk stations?
Listen.
Hear better talk and more of it.
Talk, speak, conversation.
On AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Doug Kellett. Tune in Tuesdays and Thursdays at 4:55 as I discuss financial issues of the week with Willis Ashby of Integra Financial. Right here on AM 1150 KNRC.
On Medicare? Want to save on prescriptions? Come into Walgreens and learn how you can save 25% or more with Walgreens Health Initiative's Medicare-approved drug discount card. Discounts vary by drug and pharmacy location. Call 1-800-533-7606 to find out if your prescription drug is covered and the discounted price. Pick up an enrollment packet at Walgreens and get ready to save. This card is approved by Medicare but is not a Medicare benefit. Price comparison based on Walgreens regular pricing as of March 2004.
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, just booking our Hawaii trip. Got the flight and hotel. Here, look.
Oh, Expedia.
Yeah, then we can add stuff. Surf lessons?
Oh, I'd love that.
Really?
Yeah, the sun, the water.
The tan guys with six-pack abs.
What? Okay, hear you, baby. Horseback riding.
Yeah, whatever you want to do.
Right.
Flights, hotels, and now things to do when you get there. Another way Expedia helps you create the trip that's right for you.
Expedia.com.
The only Denver radio station that covered in person the observances surrounding the memorial service of former President Ronald Reagan.
We're right near the Capitol, and today, of course, the funeral service of Ronald Reagan, his body now on its way to California, where they
Jimmy and Doug
burials.
Broadcast their shows live from Washington, D.C.
Ronald Reagan did something in his presidency. He made you proud to be an American.
The new generation of talk radio is AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Bill Griffiths, CNBC Business Radio. Stocks are higher on Wall Street at this hour, although off the highs for the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average up 30 points right now at 10,365. They did have a gain of about 80 at one time, while the Nasdaq's holding on to a healthy gain of 25 points at 1995. Consumer prices took their biggest jump in over 3 years last month. The consumer price index was up by 0.6% in May. You can blame food and oil prices for that. And consumer optimism returned in the first half of June after a decline in May. The University of Michigan's mid-month report on consumer sentiment for June increased 5 points to 95.2. And one top official for the Energy Department says the gasoline price may be turning the corner. He told a Senate panel that the national average for retail gasoline prices fell by 3 cents a gallon last week, and he's expecting the price of crude oil, which peaked at around $42 a barrel, to ease to about $35 later this year. The Dow's up 25 points right now. I'm Bill Griffith, CNBC Business Radio.
On Medicare? Want to save on prescriptions? Come into Walgreens and learn how you can save 25% or more with Walgreens Health Initiative's Medicare-approved drug discount card. Discounts vary by drug and pharmacy location. Call 1-800-533-7606 to find out if your prescription drug is covered and the discounted price. Pick up an enrollment packet at Walgreens and get ready to save. This card is approved by Medicare but is not a Medicare benefit. Price comparison based on Walgreens regular pricing as of March 2004.
I'm Jonathan Anton, owner of Jonathan's Salon, which can be seen on Bravo's reality show, Blowout. Take it from me, stress can make you lose your hair. I don't know this because I'm a stylist. I know it because I'm a small business owner. Fortunately, I also know which products promote healthy growth in both hair and business.
With Open, the Small Business Network, Jonathan Anton has the tools to make big things happen. To learn more about how Jonathan relies on the Open Network, go to open.americanexpress.com.
Hey, what's your sign? Is it hot in here, or is it just you? I seem to have lost my phone number. Could I have yours?
Looking for a new pickup line? Try this one.
Excuse me, but I couldn't help wondering, what station do you listen to?
Works every time. AM 1150, KNRC. Listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
We want to make sure that he doesn't come back to power, and so therefore it's a legitimate question to ask of the interim government. How are you going to make sure he stays in jail? And that's the question I'm asking. And when we get the right answer, which I'm confident we will, when we work with him to do so, then we'll all be satisfied.
Here again, Enid Goldstein.
Well, you had it. There was Dickie. Well, what is the right answer? You're listening to Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. 1:26 is the time. And we're going to be at the broadcasting, if all goes well, from Aspen Live on Friday. Just to let you know, the Classic at Aspen, Food and Wine Magazine, Classic at Aspen. And we have tons of really fabulous food and wine people. So if you think it's pretencioso with Starbucks, oh, you haven't got a clue. Wait till we get done with you on Friday. No, actually, it's really kind of fun. It really is kind of fun. And any pretenciosoness, we will bring you directly on the air and you can just laugh up your sleeve. We're talking about defining torture, which is what we have been engaged in as a society, and this is not how we have seen ourselves. Ashcroft, who was famously too busy draping the Statue of Justice and ripping up medical marijuana gardens in Los Angeles to bestir himself to even consider terrorism, and he said to an aide, and that was revealed in the testimony before the 9/11 Commission, you know, don't bother me with terrorism, and that was pre-9/11, of course. And you have the CIA. There's always a fight with the CIA. The CIA has to walk a line between being pressured to give any sitting government the intelligence it wants to have to justify whatever it's going to do and what it really finds. And in this case, they collaborated on this stupid fiction that provided the justification for us to go to war. And there are all kinds of stories about how riddled with incompetence, how riddled with problems the CIA is. 303-382-1150. Sherry, Anacel, hi, you're live with Enid.
Thanks for taking my call, Enid.
You're
welcome. I have a question to ask you about Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah.
I've heard that he met his wife on the Internet, which may or may not be cool, but before he agreed to marry her, she had to park her two children with her ex-husband.
Well, that I don't know. I wonder if she parked herself into a prenup also. But Darren Gabbert, who's keeping us on the air today, said that his line is the future Mrs. X Limbaugh, because if the next one goes the way of the three previous ones.
I love it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where the kids have been parked or who, you know, what the custody issues were.
That's what I've been told, that he only would marry her if she got rid of her kids.
Well, he used to, you know, there were all these statements from ex-wives that all he ever did was just sort of sit around and order in. Like, he lived in New York for a while. He never went anywhere. He never did anything. It was just ordering in one stream. You can order in anything in New York.
That's right.
So there is, yeah, and then the whole business about the drug usage, to the extent, I mean, we're talking 30 pills a day. That's what the allegation is. 30 pills a day. Yeah. I mean,
big hypocrite. Just like the rest of them. Big hypocrite.
Yeah, but see, this is my question. How is it that this flies with people? How is it that the outrages that are going on in Washington that you can see right through, nobody is as outraged as, you know, not many people are, the majority of Americans are not outraged at the lies, and they're not outraged at what is going on. And I don't get it.
I don't either. It's really a shame what the public is letting happen.
Well, there you have it. Terry, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Tony in Denver, first-time caller. Welcome.
Hi, Enid. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
You know, I got to agree with your show here. I think the public is being led around by the nose by the government at this point, and it's being led around by the carrot and the stick. It's the oldest trick in the book. The carrot is the sense of security, and you'll be safe, and they're using terrorism and all these lies and all this other stuff is the stick to scare society and drive society where they want it to go. We're just being lied to. I mean, we're being lied to about why we're in Iraq. We're being lied to about everything. This whole terrorism thing, and I should say the whole torture thing, is a really slippery slope. I mean, when your government starts torturing people, look out, because you're going the way of the Nazis. And it's as simple as that.
Well, I agree with you. And but are you hearing any kind of outrage about it? Although there are some new pictures, and boy, are they grisly, because they're bloody.
You have a picture
of a guy, you know, dressed in not much, and he's laying in a pool of his own blood, and there's blood smeared all over his body.
Yeah. Enid, listen, no offense. I'm sure your listeners do not fall into this category, but the public's brain dead, and the media's brain dead.
Well,
I'm making a generalization, but it's kind of true. And let me tell you something. One other thing that I'd like to say, when you said a little while ago that we need to kind of clean up Washington, we need to get rid of Dick Cheney, and we need to get rid of this administration, and we need to get rid of the head of the FBI here, my take is that a lot of these things are being driven by levels that are beyond these people. These people are kind of the middle managers. They're conducting the kind of operations and they're calling the shots, but they're not really the folks that are ultimately responsible. We should be asking whose bidding is Ashcroft doing? Because Ashcroft is not making all this up by himself. Ashcroft is working for somebody, and Bush is.
Gore Vidal, the novelist, the screenwriter, he ran for Senate in California. His grandfather was in the Senate. I think he comes from a long Antonian political family, and was for a time a half sibling to Jackie Kennedy, because I think their mothers were married to the same guy for a while. Not at the same time, however. He said the bank. He calls them the bank. They own everything, and anybody who's president, anybody who's secretary of defense, anybody who's anything, really does the bidding of this top of this, whoever this 1% is that he refers to as the bank. So you may very well be onto something.
Yeah, follow the money trail. Who are the people that own the Federal Reserve?
But the people are so easily led, and that the numbers are, now the Los Angeles Times poll had Kerry squarely ahead, although now there are allegations that the poll wasn't a fair sample, so we'll see what happens. Tony, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. This from Greg emailed me. He says, in the Rocky Mountain, today, Tim Lin made a point, Greg says, I hadn't thought about. Isn't it ironic that Reagan's flag-draped coffin could be seen almost 24 hours a day, 7 days a week last week? But the flag-draped coffins of the military coming back from Iraq cannot be seen? 303-382-1150. And Newsweek is talking about how there is domestic spying going on. Last February, two Army counterintelligence agents showed up at the University of Texas Law School and demanded to see the roster from a conference on Islamic law held a few days earlier. Their reason, they were trying to track down students who the agents claimed had been asking, quote, suspicious questions. I felt like I was in Law and Order, said one student. These are law students. After being grilled by one of the agents, the incident provoked a brief campus uproar, and the Army later admitted the agents had exceeded their authority. But if the Pentagon has its way, the Army may not have to make such amends in the future without any public hearing or debate. Newsweek has learned defense officials recently slipped a provision into a bill before Congress that could vastly expand the Pentagon's ability to gather intelligence inside the U.S., including recruiting citizens as informants, like in Eastern Europe, where your neighbor told on you, your neighbor ratted you out, you had a beef with your neighbor about his plums were falling on your property. Or his dog was barking, keeping you up at night, and he could rat you out. And he could make it up. And by the time they sorted out, guess what? You're hauled off to the pokey. It was just like that attorney in Oregon that they thought had his fingerprints on the bombing, some of the bombing a plastic bag or something in Spain. He hadn't been out of the country in 10 years. It wasn't his fingerprints. Fingerprinting is not the perfect science that is portrayed to be. And he's a solo practitioner, as one of his colleagues put it, in a fragile practice, meaning that it's touch and go, hardly making a living. And they hauled him off to the pokey, wouldn't tell his wife where he was, and they had it all wrong. So this is the kind of society that you are looking at here. You have got to get these people out. 303-382-1150. John in Lakewood. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC. Welcome, first-time caller.
Hi, Enid.
Hi.
I hope this is an okay spot that you can hear me.
Yeah.
I'm on the mobile going back to work from lunch. I just wanted to relate to you. This is the first time I've heard you today. And you sound like a very intelligent and reasonable Republican. I've been listening to shortwave radio for years. Got interested in it as a kid. And so I listen to BBC quite frequently, Radio Australia, and some of Canada and this and that. And it's been amazing to me over the last 3 years to listen to what the rest of the world either is getting for news and their perspective on it, and juxtapose that with what the administration says. And I've been chuckling, if I can say chuckling, for 3 years because it's been so absurd at times. Unfortunately, I don't have specific examples to
bring
you.
But why did you call me a Republican?
Well, I thought this was a Republican station. I apologize if that was a misstatement or a slur. I didn't mean to be.
Well, it's just I don't think it describes me very accurately, but other callers will be very surprised to hear you calling me a good Republican.
Well, I apologize, Enid. I just tuned in and was listening to you as I was coming back from lunch.
But whatever would make you think I was, whatever and what I said would make you think I was a Republican, John?
Actually, nothing that you said.
Well.
I've only been listening for a minute or two, and I've seen your billboards on the sides of buses.
And it says, hear both sides talk.
What's that?
It says, hear both sides talk.
Ah, very good. Well, I apologize for mislabeling you. No offense was meant.
Okay. So your point is that we are not getting the real news here. That you're talking about European papers are telling the truth in a greater way than what we're getting in our newspapers here. Is that what you're saying?
Well, not necessarily newspapers. It's mostly audio, you know, BBC and Radio Canada, Radio Australia International. I think so. Your point is valid. It's just splitting hairs with newspaper because I haven't been looking.
Well, a lot of the press has acted like cheerleaders and stenographers, and certainly in the run up to the war, and as Jimmy Breslin
definitely
calls them, the Pekingese of the press. Thanks, John. Call us again. 303-382-1150. Bob, first time caller. Welcome to Enid Live.
How you doing? You sound like a pretty good liberal to me.
I was surprised to hear him say I was a Republican.
Absolutely. I mean, that guy's way off. He's super, super left or.
I don't know. Yes. Maybe he's doing the same stuff that Rush is doing.
What is that? What's Rush doing?
Well, what Rush was doing, OxyContin. And that's probably how he got his name Rush. But anyway. Yes, Bob, what's on your mind?
Well, I guess then maybe you are not doing what Rush is doing because you're not really telling the truth. You're just kind of propagating your little propaganda.
Well, exactly. What is it that I'm not telling the truth about, Bob?
Well, you talk about the Army.
Mm-hmm.
Going in and interviewing people who are connected with Muslim groups to try to sort out terrorists. Do you have a problem with that?
Well, the Army actually apologized for it. So do you have a problem? You don't have a problem with Army counterintelligence agents going to a college campus to find out who attended, and then to grill these people, because some students had been asking suspicious questions. The campus went crazy, and the Army apologized. You think that that's good, the kind of behavior you want in a democracy?
Well, you're only quite telling half of it, but yes, of course. If it's going to protect our nation,
it would protect our nation, really?
See, your little sarcasm there. If it does, it's worth it.
If it does. If you had a brother, would he like cheese, and would you want to protect him? If it does, hypothetical is what you're talking about. And this is something that the Army is really not supposed to be doing. And so the Army wound up apologizing. And this isn't me reporting this, Bob. This is Newsweek magazine, which is a pretty reputable publication. Wouldn't you agree?
No, I would not agree.
Then what is a reputable publication, Bob?
Well, why don't you try to focus like most...
No. Tell me who you would believe. What publication would you believe? You don't believe Newsweek.
No. How about like the American Spectator? How about that?
The American what did you call it? What did you call it, Bob? The American what?
I think it's called the American... National American... I don't know.
Darling, you don't even know the name of the... Wait a minute. It's the Spectator. You can't even pronounce it. You don't know the name of it. And you're telling me you can't trust Newsweek? Please, 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is AM 1150 KNRC.
1:39, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Partly cloudy in 83 now. CU President Betsy Hoffman is feeling the heat over some comments she made in a deposition. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check the roads with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Just getting word of a rollover accident at 14th and York. A lot of emergency equipment, of course, will be responding in there to take care of that. Freeway traffic around town moving along in good shape. Posted speeds for the most part. Still the usual slowing. Southbound I-225 between Parker Road and I-25. That's the construction slowdown that we always see just about all day long and all night long, for that matter. Northwest Parkway with the information. Drive the Northwest Parkway and win. The more you drive, the more you're entered to win what's in the box. So start driving the Northwest Parkway. Visit nwpky.org to see the rules and restrictions. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
University of Colorado President Betsy Hoffman is coming under fire for saying that the C word is sometimes a term of endearment. Hoffman had been asked during a deposition if the word was, quote, a filthy and vile word. Hoffman did say the slur was a swear word, but also said its meaning depends on the circumstances. This report brought to you by Bank One, home of maximum strength checking. $30 million in Homeland Security money has arrived in Colorado. Governor Bill Owens made the announcement at a State House news conference this morning. The grants from the Federal Department of Homeland Security will provide help for some jurisdictions, but others say it's just not enough. Denver Fire Chief Larry Trujillo says his department needs more equipment and people to operate it. If you're headed to the high country today, be prepared for a delay around Georgetown. CDOT crews are doing rock scaling on Georgetown Hill, and they'll be shutting down both directions of I-70 between the Silver Plume and Georgetown exits for about 20 minutes at a time. That'll last till about 4:30 this afternoon. What's maximum strength about maximum strength checking? Free one checking with direct deposit, online bill pay, email alerts, over 4,500 ATMs only at Bank One. We'll take a look at the KNRC weather forecast next. KNRC News Time is 1:41.
You wanted live, local talk on weekends while everyone else is in infomercials or ball games. We've got it for you, Saturdays and Sundays.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I'd like to hear it.
Check out our lineup. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Ah, nothing beats a warm Colorado evening relaxing on the patio while something delicious sizzles on the barbecue. Does your gas barbecue grill pass the test? Hi, this is Keith Lair with Lair Fireplace and Patio inviting you to visit any of Lair's three beautiful metro area showrooms to see Colorado's best selection of quality gas barbecues, including premium gas grills from MHP. Using only state-of-the-art materials and workmanship, MHP grills are built to withstand Colorado's harsh environment with unique features you simply won't find on ordinary barbecues. Since 1961, when they invented the world's first gas grill, MHP has been leading the way in quality. Family-owned and operated since 1954, Lair's is Denver's oldest, most trusted name in gas barbecues. We also have the state's best selection of quality wrought iron patio furniture at Holly and Evans in Denver, 81st and Sheridan in Arvada, and just north of Arapahoe on Broadway in Littleton. There's a Lair's near you. For premium gas grills from MHP, it's Lair Fireplace and Patio, Colorado's barbecue experts.
Checking the KNRC weather forecast. Becoming mostly cloudy. Isolated thunderstorms possible this afternoon. More of the same this evening. Cloudy with scattered thunderstorms. Overnight temperature down into the low 50s. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Chance of rain. It's going to be cooler, too. Tomorrow's high only in the low to mid 60s. Partly cloudy and 81 now. KNRC news time is 1:43. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
If you're a guy that needs to lose weight but doesn't want to eat like a sissy, try Advanced Z-Carb. Z-Carb blocks the fat-causing carbs from the foods you love, like pizza, french fries, and beer, allowing you to lose weight fast. Listen to these Z-Carb users.
Before Z-Carb, 6 weeks ago I had a gut, but now look, no gut. I lost 25 pounds.
Atkins, Z-Carb helped me drop 4 belt notches in 3 weeks.
No starving, no killer workouts. I lost 30 pounds.
Forget the gimmicks and starvation diets. Z-Carb is an advanced doctor-recommended formula that uses natural ingredients to help you lose weight fast. Best of all, Z-Carb comes with a money-back guarantee.
Call now to try Advanced Z-Carb, risk-free for 30 days at 888-201-1540. Ask how to receive a free supply with your purchase at 888-201-1540. Get your money back if you don't see dramatic results. Call 888-201-1540. That's 888-201-1540.
Join our Voice at Work fraternity. It's growing every day.
I listen in the morning when I'm getting ready for work, in the office, the car on the ride home.
If you support live and local radio for the Denver metro market, go to our website at knrcradio.com and click on the Voice at Work logo.
This is going to be the most astounding thing you've ever heard of.
If you listen to KNRC at your place of business, you'll get up to 10 free t-shirts for your employees.
Well, that stuff sounds pretty good.
When you sign up as a member of KNRC's Voice at Work program, our host will mention your business on the air as a local supporter of the station. Your place of business will be added to the Voice at Work portion of the KNRC website. We want all of our listeners to know the local places that support local radio. We'll also send you KNRC t-shirts, bumper static stickers, and commuter coffee mugs.
I mean, that's a great deal.
Go to knrcradio.com and join the Voice at Work fraternity. Another way to say thank you for listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
You guys are great. I love listening.
I have it on all the time.
KNRC. The stage is set.
Real action is what we need.
Decision 2004.
If you're in a period of transition, you must help people make that transition.
Continuing coverage.
The clock is ticking.
This should be an interesting debate.
From your best choice for the info regarding the election in 2004. AM 1150, KNRC. Tune in to AM 1150 KNRC on Saturday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. for the Kiefel Cycling Hour, featuring seven-time Tour de France competitor and Olympic bronze medalist Ron Kiefel. Ron will talk about the latest equipment, highlight great local areas to ride, and even have some training tips. It doesn't matter if you're training for the Tour de France or just taking those training wheels off for the first time. The Kiefel Cycling Hour has something for you every Saturday morning from 7 to 8 on AM 1150 KNRC. And now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
1:46 on the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live, I'm Yours. Until 3 o'clock, and Richard Price and Edna Buchanan, two really top-ranked authors, are going to be joining us in the next hour. I just got this email. I have to share it with you, and I'll do that in just a second. 303-382-1150, Jeff calling from Summit County. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Jeff.
When you going national, dear?
You mean when am I hitting the road? I'm
well,
here.
You need a bigger audience. You need to go all the way across the country.
Okay.
We
stream live, actually. So.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
on the knrcradio.com. And anybody who wants to email me, Enid at knrcradio.com.
Ah, well, now I know.
Okay.
Enid, I just have to comment again. The last caller was a perfect example of the Republican blind following the incredibly stupid. They come up with no facts.
Mm-hmm.
They come up with a motion saying, oh, this is wrong, but we have no facts or justification of proving you're wrong. We just want to say you're wrong.
You're wrong, and when I say, look, this comes from Newsweek, well, I don't trust Newsweek. Okay, who do you trust? He can't even name the name of it. He couldn't even say American Spectator. It came out American Spectre. Maybe it came out American Expectorate. I don't know.
Maybe you just had him flushed.
Maybe he didn't know. So I'm thinking this isn't a credible. I'm thinking, you know, this is not too credible an argument. All right, Jeff. Well, I thank you very much for the kind words. I appreciate it.
Thank you, dear.
You're welcome. Yeah. 303-321-1150. John, first time caller. Welcome to Enid Live.
Hi, Enid. How are you doing?
Doing well, John.
Thanks. I appreciate the kiss. I was in the car driving before, couldn't get to a phone, but I think, relative to the C word, and I think it was unconscionably stupid for the CU president to even bring it up in any context, given the context. But, I mean, I think, and I speak for a lot of guys, when it can be used extremely endearingly,
mm-hmm.
is that a way to dance around it without saying anything that might get anybody in trouble? It could be used, I think, as a noun or as a verb or a lot of different ways. But, again, speaking for myself and for a lot of guys, and with my wife, and we had this talk last night, believe it or not,
mm-hmm.
She agreed completely. Very stupid for the CU president. And I'm assuming she has a PhD in something. I don't know how she got to be where she is, but I'm imagining that's what her degree is.
Well, what was it stupid of her to do? Because you're just saying that the word can be used in any context, in any way. And,
well,
and it's getting a hernia from getting itself bent into a million different shapes. But therefore, why is it stupid of Elizabeth Hoffman to say, I have heard it used as an endearment?
Because when you make it relative to the NIDA situation and any of the other young ladies that have brought complaints, I can't imagine being their dad or their grandpa or their boyfriend or their husband and not seeing it in any other way. But
so was she trying to mitigate that word and trying to get Barnett and all those everybody else and everybody who called Katie NIDA that off the hook? Is that what she was trying to do?
I'm not sure if she overtly was trying to do that, you know, or, you know,
was she trying to minimize the impact of the use of that word on Katie NIDA as a description of Katie NIDA?
I think that's more the direction she's probably going in, you know, with anything that might potentially come down the road in terms of legal action.
Well, maybe you're right about that. That's actually a really good point. John, how did you find our radio station? How did you find our show?
I was looking for an alternative to the fat guy. So.
Oh, thank goodness for that.
One other quick one.
Uh-huh.
More than Osama, more than Saddam, and anybody else who might blow the whole world up right now, I'm more afraid of the theocracy that's taken over. So I'll keep my eye on that, and I hope you will too.
I think you are right. And
do not let them off the hook, Enid. Do not let them off the hook.
I'm not letting them off the hook.
Okay, I'll be listening.
I'm hanging them on the hook. Okay. Thank you, John. 303-321-1150. Has anybody seen Urban Outfitters? It's in Cherry Creek, and they're one of the businesses where you can actually park in front, so you don't actually have to go into the mall. You can get into it. And the reason I knew about it is a friend of mine turned me on to it as I was going to Venice last January, and what they have in Venice sometimes is something called Aqua Alta, high water. The water is really high, and they have this whole system of how you walk on these sidewalks on risers. And I thought, oh, boots. Well, I already had boots, but they had some really cool boots there. And it's a very, this is my first introduction to Urban Outfitters. It's a very cool place to get stuff. And particularly, I think they really, talking to teenagers and people in their 20s a lot. But it's really cool, and there's a lot of retro stuff. And there's really just great stuff for people of all ages. Well, I just got this email. Listen to this. And the headline of the email is, do you shop at Urban Outfitters? Stop. And here's what the email says. Dear friend, so this is sort of like a letter to the universe. I happened to be shopping today and wandered into an Urban Outfitters store. I came upon a 4.5-foot George W. Bush punching bag being sold there. I was just a little incensed and found the manager to ask whether they had a carry punching bag. No was the answer, but I was given the main number in Pennsylvania to voice my complaint. If you have the stomach to go to the website and organization that puts these things out, you will see that who the mastermind is, and she names the person, apparently one of these socialist billionaires who hates America and hates Bush. Funny how he never wanted to rid the country of the corrupt leadership when Clinton was president. Funny how they are indeed using capitalist system. So anyway, don't support Urban Outfitters, she's saying, unless they stop perpetuating hatred toward our president in a time of war. So you know what I would say, boys and girls in buckaroos? Go and shop at Urban Outfitters, because anybody who's got a George W. Bush punching bag, it's 4.5 feet high, deserves to our support, and I wonder how much they cost. So call the store and see how much they cost. 4.5 foot. Well, it might be life size. I don't know if he's short or if he's tall. He looks like he's not tall, but I don't really know. I wonder how much they cost. I think it'd be so hilarious to have one right here in the studio. The George W. Dickey, all things life size and size, punching bag, the George W. Dickey Bush punching bag. What do you think? I think Urban Outfitters is to be commended, and you should shop there, not listen to what this lady, this chain letter that this, I'm assuming it's a lady, is putting out. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Tuesday, lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
No matter what happens, where it happens, or how it happens, get the information you need here first. First, AM 1150, KNRC. KNRC.
Get maximum strength checking from Bank One. Free one checking with direct deposit, online bill pay, email alerts, over 4,500 ATMs, only at Bank One. Summertime means the Hudson Gardens and Event Center Gigs in the Gardens Concert Series. And this year's lineup is not to be missed. Join AM 1150 KNRC in the beautiful surroundings of the Hudson Gardens. An easy drive from anywhere in the Denver area. 3 miles north of C-470 at 6115 South Santa Fe Drive in Littleton. This Sunday, hear one of Colorado's leading jazz bands, Dutzero. And don't miss next Sunday, June 27th, an evening with Lanny Garrett. Tickets are $7.50 for adults and $2 for children and are available by telephone at 303-797-8565 extension 321 or online at hudsongardens.org. Plan to bring the whole family and get there early to grab a prime spot. Gates open at 5:30 and the music starts at 6:30 this Sunday at the Hudson Gardens and Event Center. The Gigs in the Gardens Concert Series every Sunday all summer long, brought to you by AM 1150 KNRC.
Why listen to Rush when you've got Enid?
Love her as I love her, and there will be joy.
AM 1150, KNRC.
Hey, ladies, listen carefully. Shh. Did you hear that? It's the newest, quietest innovation from Kotex. The only pad wrapper you might need bionic powers to hear. Less crinkling, less crackling. Less announcing to the world you've got your period.
Price check in aisle 2 on Ultra Thin.
Well, at least from Kotex. Kotex fits. Period.
I want my golf challenging. 18 holes is the least I'll play in a day.
I like my golf with sunshine, immaculate greens, and a great lunch on a deck with views after I'm done.
It doesn't matter what you look for in a golf game because the Breckenridge Golf Course has it all. The only 27-hole Jack Nicklaus-designed course in the country. Spectacular views, great clubhouse, and your ball will fly 10 to 20% farther. Guaranteed. Visit GoBreckNow.com today for competitive rates and tailored vacations. Have a cool summer experience. Breckenridge.
Your back hurts. It's the moment of choice. What should you take? Truth is, doctors nationwide recommend the medicine in Advil most for back pain. Advance to Advil Relief.
Now, live local news and traffic, Saturdays and Sundays.
Did you hear that?
Why?
Let's hear it.
Because you don't stop wanting information on the weekends. Hear Colorado Talk. AM 1150, KNRC.
Life is great, yeah?
Hi, I'm Doug Kelly. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1:56 on the Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and there was a big story about what's going on in the intelligence community in this country, and it's apparently really hideous. There's a new book out, and it's by an intelligence expert named Thomas Powers, and he is alleging that the U.S. is now waging three wars. One is Iraq, of course. The second is in Afghanistan. And the third, he is alleging, is in Washington, an all-out war between the White House and the nation's own intelligence agencies. His new book is called Intelligence Wars, American Secret History from Hitler to Al-Qaeda, charges that the Bush administration is responsible for what is perhaps the greatest disaster in the history of U.S. intelligence, from failing to anticipate 9/11 to pressuring the CIA to produce bogus justifications for war, from abusing Iraqi prisoners to misrepresenting the nature of Iraqi insurgents, the Bush White House, the Pentagon, and the intelligence agencies they corrupted, coerced, or ignored have made extraordinarily grave errors which could threaten our national security for years. By manipulating intelligence and punishing dissent while pursuing an extreme foreign policy agenda, Bush leaders have set spy against U.S. spy and deeply damaged America's intelligence capabilities. And, you know, I really believe that that's the case. It looks like Secretary Rumsfeld gave specific orders as to what type of abuse should be meted out to Iraqi prisoners. There is strong reason to believe that Rumsfeld, quote, issued blanket permission for them to turn up the heat, for the heat to be turned up on these prisoners. The book reveals an extraordinary level of bitter combat between the CIA and the Pentagon. Astonishing that the CIA actually oversaw a team of people who broke into, now this is Chalabi's headquarters, which was paid for by the Pentagon. Chalabi's headquarters were paid for by the Pentagon, and the CIA broke in and did that raid a couple of weeks ago and ransacked the place. The CIA, according to this author, single-handedly destroyed Chalabi. Well, I think Chalabi single-handedly destroyed himself. But what troubles Powers the most is that the Bush administration completely subverted American democracy, browbeating Congress and the national security agencies to launch a war. They correctly read how the various institutions of our government could be used to stage a kind of temporary coup on a single issue, whether or not to go to war with Iraq. I think that that is exactly what has happened as well. And this is an intelligence expert by the name of Thomas Powers making these allegations. I think he's absolutely on the money. We'll be talking more about that. And I also want to let you know that I'm off tomorrow, jury duty. Billy Thorpe is going to be in for me. Bill Thorpe will be sitting in for me here, but we have one more hour to go. Don't go anywhere, because we're going to be joined by really two top-notch authors. Next, Edna Buchanan. Her new book is called Cold Case Squad. She has won a Pulitzer Prize for her reporting and also the Polk Award, which is one of the most prestigious awards given. And also later joining us in the next hour, Richard Price. His new book is Samaritan. He'll be at Tattered Cover, Cherry Creek, 7:30 tonight. Don't go anywhere. One more hour of Enid Live right here on AM 1150 KNRC.
But it's important that he not be allowed to escape.
He's a killer. He is a thug. He needs to be brought to trial. We want to make sure that the transfer to a sovereign government is done in a timely way and in a secure way.
The U.S. plans to hand over power to Iraqi authorities at the end of the month. Mr. Bush says that means complete sovereignty with support from the United States. House Republican leader Tom DeLay says the charges are frivolous, but a congressional Democrat accuses him of ethics violations. Chris Bell is losing his seat because of redistricting engineered by DeLay. The House Ethics Panel is reviewing the allegations. Grim news from researchers at the United Nations. Much of the world is drying up. Each year, hundreds of thousands of acres are becoming desert. The experts say global warming and a growing population are partly to blame. That's the news at this hour. I'm John Siegenthaler, NBC News Radio.
All right, people, we need new computers, and they're pretty expensive, so we're cutting back. If you have to travel overnight, try sleeping in a park. Think of it as a business adventure. Next Office Supplies. Instead of using tape or glue, see if anyone's chewing gum. And yes, we're cutting toilet paper.
Looking for an easier way to afford the latest technology?
Sir, why aren't we just getting a Dell?
At DellRadio.com, you'll find great deals on PCs for your small business. Get everything from notebooks and servers to printers and PDAs to complement your PC purchase. Everything you need in one place.
Water, however, will still be available for a nominal fee.
Right now at DellRadio.com, you can get a Dell Dimension desktop with an Intel Pentium 4 processor for just $449 plus tax. Monitor not included. Order select systems today and get a free flat panel upgrade and free 3 to 5 day shipping. DellRadio.com. Just one more thing that's easy as Dell. Dell systems use Intel Pentium 4 processors.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 80 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Some comments made in a deposition by the CU president have some people upset. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Big problem on the surface streets right now is a rollover accident at 14th and York. It's bad enough that they have closed southbound York at Colfax until they get this cleaned up. Detour is east on Colfax to Columbine, south to 13th Avenue, and then back west to York Street. Also an injury accident coming in from 27th and Baseline in Boulder. Drive the Northwest Parkway and win. The more you drive, the more you're entered to win what's in the box. So start driving the Northwest Parkway. Visit NWPKY.org to see the rules and restrictions. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Betsy Hoffman is in the hot seat once again, this time over comments she made during a deposition when Hoffman was asked if the C word was, quote, a filthy and vile word. Hoffman said the slur was a swear word, but she also said she's heard it used as a term of endearment. Hoffman's answers were in response to questions from an attorney of three women who have filed suit against the school on grounds of sexual assault at the hands of CU football players or recruits. This report brought to you by Quest Choice Business. Enjoy this warm weather while you can. That's the message from the National Weather Service, which indicates below normal temperatures are set to move in tonight.
Today will be the last day we'll see this type of weather, and we'll start trending down to cooler and in some cases below normal temperatures over the next several days.
That's forecaster Mike Baker, who says there could be some snow at some of the higher elevations over the next couple days. While on Friday it should warm up, he says on Saturday those cooler temperatures will be back. Thornton residents opposed to a new Walmart are expected to pack city council chambers there tonight. Walmart wants to build the new store at I-25 and 136th. Council approved the rezoning plan during its first reading 3 months ago. Tonight, second reading will make or break that plan. In sports, the Colorado Rockies play host to the Boston Red Sox for a three-game series starting tonight. Joe Kennedy on the mound for the Rocks. Quest Choice Long Distance for Business, just 5 cents a minute with $20 monthly cap and no contracts. Call 1-888-LD-QUEST for more information. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
Is the time. I think we're having some technical problems. You're listening to Enid Live, and I am yours until 3 o'clock. And just to let you know what's coming up tomorrow, I have jury duty, so Bill Thorpe is going to be filling in for me. Thursday, Joe and I go up later in the day. We're going to go up to Aspen, and we will be at Food and Wine Classic, Food and Wine Magazine Classic at Aspen, and broadcasting live from Aspen on Friday, and a little bit on Saturday as well, I think in Jim Condor's show. But this hour, we're talking about books this hour. Later, we'll be joined by author Richard Price. His new book is Samaritan. You know him from Sea of Love. You know him from Clockers. And right now, in studio with us, Edna Buchanan, the fabled Edna Buchanan. I've been reading about her for a million years. She has had a distinguished journalism career working for the Miami Herald,
right,
and has won a Pulitzer Prize for her police reporting, the George Polk Award for career achievement in journalism. Your books apparently have been translated into 5 million languages, some of them not still spoken. Her new book is called Cold Case Squad. A previous book, the author had a familiar face, Edna Buchanan. It is a great pleasure to welcome you.
Oh, thank you very much. I love to be here. I love Denver.
Well, tell me about, first of all, I was at a dinner. The press club honored Kyle Hyacin, who wasn't he one of your colleagues on the Miami Herald?
Right, we worked together.
You started out life as what, a reporter?
Yeah.
And where? Were you always at the Miami Herald, or did you?
I worked at a small paper, and that was where I learned journalism, because I never studied journalism in school. It was an accident, and my ambition was always to write novels. And then someone suggested, gee, why don't you apply for a job at this little newspaper in Miami Beach? And I thought, what a great idea. I can earn a living being a reporter while I write the great American novel. Of course, not realizing that that daily whirlwind of journalism swallows up your whole life, giving you no time to read a novel, much less write one.
That's true.
So I worked there for 5 years.
What was your bet? Had you gone to college? Did you have any college? You were a high school graduate.
Nope.
And where'd you go to school? Where'd you live?
Patterson, New Jersey. And I hated school.
How did you get to Miami?
And went down there on vacation. I lived in New Jersey. And one summer, my mother and I went to Point Pleasant. It was like our first vacation. We rented a little cottage by the sea. And it rained every day. And you never saw any patch of blue sky or the sun. The beach smelled like wet, rotten fish. And it was horrible. And we said, next year we're going to go on vacation somewhere where they have sunshine every day. So we went to Miami Beach on our next vacation the following year, and it was like an emotional experience. It was like coming home. I knew it brought a tear to my eye. This was where I belonged. I was born in the wrong place. I was supposed to be born in Miami Beach. So I just went back home to get my stuff and move. I love it there. And I guess I love it now more for what it was than for what it is now. And but going from Paterson, New Jersey to Miami Beach was like going from a gritty black and white newsreel into Technicolor and CinemaScope. And it changed my entire life. And I hated school. And a few, you know, my mother, I was born when my mother was 17. My father disappeared when I was 7 and never heard from again.
You never met your father ever?
No, I heard back when I was working at the Herald years ago, I finally received news one day that they had found him dead. You know, he was dead. That was, so I never did ever speak to the man after age 7. But I would have liked to have done that once. So I was self-conscious and gawky. I was the tallest girl in my class. I wore hand-me-downs that people gave to my mother, and I was sure everyone always laughed at me, and I'm convinced they did, with good reason, many times. And I didn't get to mingle much with kids my own age because I took care of everything else. Well, my mother worked 2 and sometimes 3 jobs. In fact, when I was 12, I used to go into this factory, a candle factory, to work in her place on the night shift because the bosses never knew. Just if the work was done, it didn't matter who did it. So I would go in at age 12 to work in the candle factory and did waitress work. And I hated school, and a few unkind teachers added to the burden. An elementary school math teacher, who I will never forget, told me once in front of the entire class that I would never be anything, not even a good housewife, because I wouldn't be able to calculate the measurements for a recipe or count my change at the supermarket. And everybody laughed, and I was so humiliated, I never forgot what she said. And, of course, it's turned out okay because recipes never have been my strong suit, and I never count my change at the supermarket. I use credit cards.
You can calculate those royalties in if you can. So you now get a job in a newspaper, and you wind up writing eventually for the Miami Herald. And
Right. You
immediately assigned the police beat, or is that something that you sort of worked up to?
Well, when I worked at the small newspaper first, because it was a small newspaper and they were always short of help, I did everything. I even set type, hot type in the back room and in the print shop. I wrote celebrity interviews. I wrote a column. I covered society shindigs. I covered local politics. And nothing is more dirty and low down and crazy than politics in small towns. All these little municipalities around Miami Beach, North Bay Village, Surfside, Bay Harbor, Bell Harbor. So I covered politics in Miami Beach as well. I covered police stories. I covered court. I did everything. And I developed some police sources. And then when I went to work at the Herald, I covered general assignment for the first year. Some of those were police stories because I already had some sources. And just whatever reporter was up next, and free, if the big police story broke, they would send them out. And so the second year they assigned me to criminal court, which, of course, is a gold mine for a reporter because you've got the good guys, the bad guys, and they're all interchangeable. You know, the judges, the victims, the defendants, the witnesses, the prosecutors, the defense lawyers. You know, it's just like Shakespeare every day. And so I covered that for a year, and I noticed that when some of these really terrible crimes came to trial, I'd go back to the Herald and look in the morgue for the original stories on it, and they hadn't been covered. We had missed them, and of course, most cases never get to trial. Either the perpetrator's never caught, or they plead, or they abscond or something. So it's very rare that a case even goes to trial. So I, at the end of that year covering criminal court, I told my editor one day just passing in the newsroom, I said, someone ought to make a beat of the police beat. They should go to the 3 major cop shops every day, read the overnight logs, the reports, rap with the troops, go to the jail, go to the morgue, see who came in overnight. And without even hesitating, this editor, who unlike most, didn't have to have 6 meetings to make a decision.
Right.
He just said, sounds good, do it. And that's what I did for the next 15 years.
What did you win a Pulitzer for?
I won the Pulitzer in 86 for 10 unrelated stories I did in 1985 out of more than 200 that I had done. And a few of them were big projects, takeouts on big murder cases or something, or the highway bandits that were robbing people. They were throwing refrigerators and big pieces of furniture down the overpasses, wrecking cars, and then robbing the occupants, the injured occupants who would now crash their car into a refrigerator or something. And they would
wreck. Wait a minute. You're driving along, and
yeah,
somebody rolls a refrigerator on top of your car from the overpass?
Yeah. And they would
and then they got some of their colleagues down there waiting to rob you, come running down there.
Like, you know, it was just like the old stagecoach robberies or something. And the police said they couldn't do anything about it because there were too many miles of expressway and everything. And this was going on, so I did a big story on it. In fact, I think it was also reprinted in the New York Times and a lot of other, you know, on the, went out in the wires and everything. But I went out and talked to a lot of the victims, talked to a lot of the cops, found some of the robbers and talked to them. And so it was really interesting. And after that, the governor sent in, you know, planes and highway patrolmen, and they found a way to build wire fences that they couldn't throw furniture out on the expressway. And so it worked out. They, once the problem was really across the front page of the Herald, they paid attention.
How did you make the transition, Edna Buchanan, to novelist?
Well,
were you able finally to find a way to write and still work at the Miami Herald and be a reporter, or do you have to really separate them out?
You have to separate it when it's fiction, because for, you know, with a nonfiction book, you can close your notebook with all your facts, go away, go to a movie, go do something else, go work at the Herald, come back and open your notebook again. But with fiction, you have to transport yourself into the world of the characters, and you're afraid of being, you know, yanked out of that world and not getting back in the same place, or the same point in the characters' lives. And once you've got the momentum going and you're living in the world of your characters, you have the doorbell rings and you're on a roll. You just want to run sanely down the stairs and stab whoever it is in the heart.
How about just not answering the door?
And it could be your mother. It could be somebody selling Girl Scout cookies. It could be the Fuller Brush Man. You know, so you really, I go to the supermarket like 7 a.m. so I don't run into anybody I know that starts a conversation and sort of messes up my mind. So with fiction, it's harder. You have to become more reclusive and stick with it and not interrupt it.
Did you leave the Miami Herald in order to begin writing fiction? Did you take a leave? Or?
Yeah, after my first I wrote The Corpse Had a Familiar Face, which was dedicated to my 7th grade English teacher who changed my entire life forever. And that book, The Corpse Had a Familiar Face, it's nonfiction, autobiographical, has just been, I updated it, and it's just been republished by Simon & Schuster simultaneous with The Cold Case Squad in paperback, a new revised version. And I wanted to write a novel. That had been my childhood dream. You know, and I couldn't even read yet at age 4, but I was hooked on stories. My mother read to me, and I told everybody I was going to write books when I grew up, and that's what I always wanted to do. Journalism was sort of an accident. And so I told the editor at Random House that I wanted to write a novel next, and he resisted, and I finally cornered him and said, well, why don't you want me to write this novel? And he said, when somebody is known for playing the violin, you have to have serious reservations when they suddenly announce plans to play the tuba. And I insisted. And he finally, you know, said, okay, and I got a two-book contract, one for the novel I wanted to write, and the other for the sequel to The Corpse Had a Familiar Face, which they wanted. They were made later into movies of the week with Elizabeth Montgomery playing me. But anyway, I wrote the novel, I went home to write it, and then I panicked because I thought, what if I can't play this tuba? Because Ernest Hemingway once said that anyone who writes novels should work first for a daily newspaper, but never for more than 18 months. And I had overdone it, you know, by a couple of decades. And I thought, maybe I can't do this. But what other authors tell you, it's really true. Along around chapter 3 or 4, the characters just sprang to life and began doing these things that I never expected. You know, the villain, who was a woman, was far more evil than I ever dreamed she could be. My favorite cat, Flossie, would sit on my lap while I was working, and I'd say, oh, my God, Flossie, look what she's doing now. I mean, she really did things that I never anticipated. And there was a minor character. He was supposed to be a minor character, a friend of the hero. And he became really strong and tried to take over the book. And I almost had to physically grapple with him to try to, he was barging into every scene. So I promised him that if he would just cool it, because he wasn't a major character in this book, that later I would bring him back as a major character, a lead in a future book. And he turned out to be Dan Flood, the dying detective in Miami It's Murder, which was about 2 or 3 books later.
How many books did it take for you to hit the big time?
Well, I still feel like I haven't hit the big time. I'm still working on it.
But you have what, 11?
This is book 14. I think I'm working on 15.
But
now,
how many copies are in print? Do you know?
No, I don't.
You've been translated into a bunch of languages. And,
yeah.
So this is the new book. Give us a little flavor of Cold Case Squad.
Well, it's interesting because this is the novel I've wanted to write for more than 20 years. Back in January of 1984, I wrote a story about Miami's new Cold Case Squad. And their work just sort of blew me away.
What is a cold case squad?
These are detectives.
These are cases that are really cold, and then they pick them up years later.
Right, because people say...
Because the forensic methods have changed, and now
right,
you can do DNA testing.
Right, and they can use this new, sophisticated, Star Wars-type forensics on old cold cases, murders that happened before these kinds of forensics were even dreamed of. Because who even would have thought a few short decades ago that a killer could be identified by... a tissue that he blew his nose in and discarded, a stamp that he licked, a toothpick he used and threw away.
I just saw a story about they got somebody's DNA by a handshake, just
yep.
on a handshake.
Yep.
The detectives kind of concocted some reason to shake the guy's hand, and then they all had their hands
yeah.
analyzed.
Yep. And there's also, that's another thing with gunshot powder residue, because they always say, oh, you know, you can tell if someone's fired a gun. But if someone has been shooting at the range and then they shake your hand, you've got it on you. And if a gun is fired in a car or a small room, everybody in the room has got it on them. It, you know, if it's a revolver,
right.
you know, that blowback. So, but forensics is so fascinating. And to apply modern-day forensics to old cases is fascinating. So I loved their work. And at that time, I thought this would make a great book. This would make a great television series. I wrote a treatment for a television series. I kept writing book proposals for books. Every time I finish a book and I'm ready to start a new one, I give 4 or 5 book proposals to my editors, and they pick the one they want. And they never picked Cold Case Squad. And finally, 10 years later, in 1994, Steve Cannell and Dick Wolf, you know, TV filmmakers.
Steve Cannell's been my guest a couple of times
yeah,
here.
Yeah, of Rockford File
right,
fame.
Right, right.
And Dick Wolf of Law & Order fame. They were both interested. Cannell optioned it. He wrote a script, and he was dealing with the network. They wanted some changes. He did the changes. And then the network never moved forward with it. And Cold Case Squad was never made into a TV series. Until, of course, now, 10 years after that, 20 years after I proposed it, they do have a Cold Case Squad series now.
Oh, they do? Okay.
Yeah, on TV. And finally, I gave up. I really, these Cold Case Squad detectives were so alive to me that I went ahead and put them in my last novel before this one, The Ice Maiden. The Cold Case Squad was introduced. They weren't the lead characters, but they were in the book. And so when I showed the proposals, the 5 new ones, to my editor at Simon & Schuster, this time he picked the Cold Case Squad. So I finally got to write the book. And it's great because they have the greatest gift you could give a detective, and that's the luxury of time, enough time to work uninterrupted on a case. Because like with most murders that happen, they say that if you don't know who did it, if you don't have a pretty good idea and a motive within 48 hours, 48 to 72 hours, chances are it will never be solved because the police move on to new cases with fresh leads to follow, and those cases get moved to a back burner. But now all of these people who years ago thought they got away with murder have to be aware that there could be a knock at the door, the tap on the shoulder, the Cold Case Squad may be coming, because the beauty of the mission is that first-degree murder has no statute of limitations. So you can never be sure that you really got away with it.
My guest is Edna Buchanan. Her new book is called Cold Case Squad. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Lock us in on your first preset. AM 1150 KNRC. KNRC.
Bob. Oh, Bob.
Huh? What? Who are...
It's time we talk about our relationship, Bob.
Huh? Our relationship? Now?
It's over, Bob.
Over? But you're my computer.
That's why it's over. We just don't have the right connection. It's been fun, but you know, our relationship has been feeling, well, limited. Wouldn't you rather get out of the house and meet other singles?
Well, yeah, but how?
The answer is one phone call away. Cottonwood Connection. They help singles connect. Real people, fun-filled events. Frankly, Bob, you could use a little sunshine.
But you know me, I'm shy.
At Cottonwood Connection, they encourage courage. Your full year membership includes events and a video profile on their website, so we'll still get to see each other.
Well,
come on, Bob. Isn't it time to get out of the house and really connect? Call Cottonwood Connection, 303-424-2300. Check out their website at www.cottonwoodconnection.com. It's all about the right connection, Bob.
Cottonwood Connection, helping singles connect. Call 303-424-2300 or sign up online at cottonwoodconnection.com.
Jazz Aspen Snowmass, presented by Janus Capital Group, is Rare Attack from June 24th to June 27th. Quentin Marsalis, Natalie Cole, Al Green, Buddy Guy, Modesty, Martin and Wood, and many more, including a free gospel concert with the Mighty Clouds of Joy Sunday at noon.
And I can't stop. I just can't stop.
Free
shows on the Cooper Street Mall, JAS After Dark shows, and Aspen night spots including Syzygy, the Jerome Ballroom, Matsuisa, Club Chelsea, the Blue Door, and the Mill Street Club at the St. Regis.
It's crazy, but I'm in love.
Tickets available now at the Wheeler Box Office, 920-5770, or from the JAS Box Office at 866-JASTIXX, or online at www.jazzaspen.org.
Well, I'm a crawling king snake. In our room, my
dear. Don't miss the big event in downtown Aspen, June 24th through the 27th. It's where it's at. For lodging and ticket packages, call 1-800-SNOWMASS.
AM 1150 KNRC invites you to participate in the 2004 Miles to Fight Melanoma Summer Solstice Race on Wednesday, June 16th in City Park. This annual benefit raises awareness and funds for the prevention and cure of melanoma, which occurs more frequently in Colorado than in the rest of the country. Run, walk, and enjoy music and refreshments. Call 303-430-2817 for information on the Summer Solstice Race, Wednesday, June 16th in City Park, from AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Steve North, CNBC Business Radio. New data on inflation this morning calmed investors' fears of a big interest rate hike, leading to an up day on Wall Street. The Dow gained 46 points, closing at 10,380. The Nasdaq rose 26 to finish at 1,996. Oracle has just reported its fourth quarter results. The business software maker posted a higher quarterly profit, driven by improved sales of its high-end database software. The solid earnings, however, may be overshadowed by Oracle's nearly $8 billion hostile takeover bid for rival PeopleSoft. The government's trying to block that, saying it will lead to decreased competition and higher prices. Oil prices dropped today to $37.15 a barrel, that as traders took profits after a rally. And the Bush administration will not immediately create a national Do Not Spam registry. According to documents, using current technology to do so might generate even more unwanted emails. Steve North, CNBC Business Radio.
Hi, I'm Frank Payne. I'm the host of Discovery Channel's new TV series, Big.
You may be wondering where this is going.
Each week, my team of experts build me something big. From blenders to barbecues, from shavers to slot machines. They've got 1 week to figure it out. Fire it up. Why build huge, ridiculous, supersized things?
Because we can. Big.
This week, it's the world's largest guitar on an all-new Big. Tonight at 9, only on the Discovery Channel.
Guys, it's almost Father's Day, and time to drop a few hints. When your wife asks, "What do you want for dinner?" you say, 110 channels of Sirius satellite radio with commercial-free music, plus news, talk, sports, and the entire NFL season sounds good. If she looks confused, you say, "Oh, I thought you asked me what I wanted for Father's Day."
Now, Sirius satellite radio is just $9.99 a month. Offer based on prepaid one-year subscription and available for a limited time at participating retailers. Hardware sold separately. Terms, conditions, and activation fee apply. Visit Best Buy, Circuit City, or Sirius.com for details.
The new generation of talk radio is AM 1150, KNRC. Listen for details as Enid Goldstein broadcasts live from the Aspen Wine and Food Festival, exclusively on AM 1150, KNRC.
Lionel with you. Join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
226 on the lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and my guest live in studio, Edna Buchanan. Her new book, Cold Case Squad. You can meet her tonight at High Crimes Bookstore in Boulder. It's 946 Pearl Street in Boulder at 7 p.m. She'll be doing a signing and a reading. Edna, I want to ask you a question. When you were a police reporter, here's a woman doing police. Was there a lot? Did you run into a lot of resistance? Because that's a beat that you normally associate hard-bitten guys with fedoras pulled over their eyeballs.
Yeah, I think in the very beginning, because no other woman had covered crime full-time in South Florida before. And so there I was. And at first, I think the cops tended to just pat me on the head or ignore me. But I was always there. I always kept coming back. And eventually, I think they got to the point where, like, one of them said once when he was interviewed that it wouldn't be a murder without her. She's always there, you know. And they began to feel like I was a piece of the furniture. But then every once in a while, something I wrote would really...
You have witnessed, what, 5,000 violent deaths, you told me?
Yeah, I covered 5,000 violent deaths in my years at the Herald. About 3,000 of them were homicides. You know, the rest were accidents, plane crashes, suicides, you know, whatever, building
what
collapses,
effect, what
disasters.
Effect does this have on you as a human being and as a reporter and I suppose also as a novelist?
Well, I guess it certainly had an effect on my personal life, but it didn't really matter to me because, you know, when I went on the police beat, one editor said he didn't want me to do it because I would become calloused, but it was quite the contrary. I became far more sensitive to the plights of the victims over the years. But, you know, you can't grow calluses on your heart. And you sit and talk to some of these people who were bereaved or victimized, and you would know something that they didn't, that probably they were going to be victimized again by the system because it's never, ever really over. Even if someone's arrested, even if they're convicted, it's never over because there are appeals upon appeals. Even if they get the death penalty, it doesn't happen for 20 years, and even then.
And even when there's the death penalty, that overused term closure, you've really lost somebody you loved, and just putting and somebody else getting a lethal injection, which they always alcohol you in advance so that no cooties can get in before the state can get in there, I don't think provides closure, does it?
No, I don't think so. At least, you know, there's some justice and they won't do it to somebody else. But there should be swifter justice. Unlike most reporters, I do believe in the death penalty because I've seen too many cases where people who once were convicted and sentenced to death and then, you know, hurt someone else, got new trials, got released, some fluke in the law, escaped, you know, did something, hurt someone else in prison, you know, a social worker, a guard. But
you live in
it should happen quickly. They should red flag all these appeals and get it done in 18 months, not 18 years.
You live in the Petri dish that is the perfect place for a crime writer, and that would be South Florida.
Yep.
I mean,
it's hard to write fiction in a place that is truly stranger.
What we just have a few seconds left. Edna Buchanan, author of Cold Case Squad. The surprise of being a police reporter, the surprise of having this great success in your life, of being a fiction writer. What surprises have emerged from it that you never would have expected?
I guess just that I'm there in Miami, because I've been there for a lot of years now, and yet the sky, the water, you know, I'm really in the place that I belong in. And now, you know, and I lived in a tenement in Paterson, New Jersey. You had to walk up 5 flights. And I remember once being stuck in the bathtub, and rats came into the room, and I was afraid to get out of the bathtub, and it was ice cold because of. And now sometimes I go swimming at sunset in my pool, in my, you know, outside my bayfront house, and I just, my neighbors think I'm nuts because I'm lying in the pool, floating around, laughing hard.
Edna Buchanan, thank you so much for joining us today. You can meet her tonight at High Crimes Bookstore, 946 Pearl Street, Boulder, 7 p.m., her new book, Cold Case Squad. So you knew you wanted to live in Miami when you started out, and you knew you wanted to be a writer,
yep.
And you have been able to do both. Thank you so much.
I'm blessed. How many of us ever get the chance to do what we wanted to do when we were children? I'm so blessed. I'm lucky.
Thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome.
I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is AM 1150 KNRC.
2:30, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hey, and it's partly cloudy and 81 now. A boost today for Homeland Security in Colorado. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check the roads with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Freeway traffic continues to move along in pretty decent shape. Posted freeway speeds according to the CDOT maps. We do have one accident out of the area, though. It's northbound I-25 at Highway 66. That's the Meade cutoff. It's a rolled-over sand truck that's causing all the fuss up there. No injuries reported at the present time, but lots of delays, as you can imagine. Also, southbound York Street closed at Colfax because of a rollover accident. The accident itself is at 14th and York. Detour is east on Colfax to Columbine, south on Columbine back to 13th, and then 13th back west over to York Street. Don't have any idea when that road will reopen. Work in pest control with the information. Just because you don't see carpenter ants doesn't mean they're not trying to turn your house into a sack of sawdust. Remember, if it bugs you, bug the Orchid Man at 1-800-ORCHID-MAN. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Governor Bill Owens announced today that Colorado has received $30 million for Homeland Security and terrorism prevention efforts. The funds come from the Federal Department of Homeland Security. Owens says while there is no indication of an imminent terrorist threat, it's best to be prepared. This report brought to you by Albertsons. University of Colorado President Betsy Hoffman under fire again for some comments she made in a deposition. When asked if the C word was, quote, a filthy and vile word, Hoffman said while the slur is a swear word, she's heard it used as a term of endearment. Hoffman was answering questions
comments from an attorney for three women who filed suit against CU claiming sexual assault at the hands of university football players or recruits. Until about 4:30 this afternoon, CDOT crews will be periodically shutting down I-70 in both directions between the Georgetown and Silver Plume exits as they do some rock scaling on Georgetown Hill. The shutdowns will last about 20 minutes each, so be prepared for a delay if you're headed to the high country today. Craving a delicious Starbucks coffee? You can now use your Starbucks card at any Albertsons Starbucks location, so stop by today. Albertsons, helping make your life easier. We'll take a look at the KNRC weather forecast next. KNRC News Time is 2:33.
As important to Denver as the Rocky Mountains, if we do say so ourselves. AM 1150, KNRC. KNRC.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it.
Just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours, too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
Checking the KNRC weather forecast. Becoming mostly cloudy today. Isolated thunderstorms possible this afternoon and this evening. The overnight temperature down into the low 50s. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Chance of rain. It's going to be cooler, too, tomorrow. High temperature only in the low to mid 60s. Partly cloudy and 81 now. KNRC News Time is 2:34. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Been wondering how to get started investing in real estate? Call Mile High Capital Group. They're experts in rental duplexes, a great way for an individual to get started in real estate investing. They handle everything from finding the right lot in the right area where your new duplex can cash flow from day one, building the duplex, and even managing it for you if you wish. So this can be real carefree real estate investing. If you can afford just 10% down, about $30,000, you can be on your way to financial security. It's a fact. If you had acted on this investment strategy of investing in Colorado rental duplexes 10 years ago, you would have averaged nearly a 100% return per year for the last 10 years. Compare that to the stock market. Call Mike at Mile High Capital Group for complete no-obligation details and tell them you heard about them on AM 1150 KNRC. 303-683-8500. That's 303-683-8500. Or visit them at milehighcapital.com. It may be the most important call you ever make.
If a picture is worth a thousand words, imagine the value
of a thousand words.
AM 1150 KNRC. KNRC.
Real fruit and healthy energy from whole grains and protein in 10 tempting flavors. Harvest Bar from Power Bar. Available at Albertsons.
Hi, this is Doug Kellett. Consider this your invitation to a special educational workshop that may help you grow that retirement income. Certified financial planner Willis Ashby of Integra Financial is hosting the workshop. Willis, tell us what you've got planned.
Doug, the workshop is so you can make informed decisions as to which investments best suit your needs, how you can adjust your portfolio to keep pace with inflation. I'll also be discussing how you can reduce your current financial risk and maintain the potential for competitive returns.
Now, that sounds good. And let me remind everyone, the seminar is free, and this gives people a chance to meet you and see if having a financial advisor actually works for them, right?
Exactly. And it's in a comfortable environment where you can check us out. We'll also be discussing what a fee-based investment advisor is and how the tax laws and your investments interact with one another and how and where you should invest today for tomorrow.
Seating is limited, so you need to reserve your seats for the June 15th or June 17th workshop by calling 303-220-5525. That's 303-220-5525. Integra Financial, helping people make good financial decisions since 1989.
You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
2:37 on the lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock, and we are lucky to have with us in studio Richard Price, best-selling author, screenwriter. His new book, it's now out in paperback, called Samaritan. And you can meet him tonight at Tattered Cover Cherry Creek at 7:30. Thank you for joining us, Richard.
Oh, you're welcome.
I have been reading about you for a really long time. What should we call it? Your resume, your bibliography, what's the right word? Include Sea of Love, Credits, Clockers. Give me some more titles. Color of Money. Some of these are screenplays. These are novels.
Ransom.
Talk to me about how you became a novelist. I mean, is this something that you knew you were going to do? Did you start out to do something else?
No, I always I didn't know what a novel was when I was a little kid, but I just wanted to be a writer, and it never wavered.
How'd you support it?
By being a child and having parents. I was very lucky. I got published when I was 23 years old, so I wasn't even finished with school yet. It was like the best term paper in the world. I didn't even realize I was a published writer.
What was your first book that was published?
It was called The Wanderers. And it was 1974, and it was about teenage gangs in the Bronx, pre-Vietnam, pre-Beatles, and it was way before Greece. It wasn't a greasy thing. As I said, though, I was 23 years old. So
where were you in school?
Well, at that point, I was in the master's program in fiction writing at Columbia University.
You received an Academy Award nomination for The Color of Money. You've written a number of screenplays. You started out by writing novels. And how did you get into screenplay work, to writing for film?
Well, the first two books I wrote were made into movies. The Wanderers, Phil Kaufman, did in 1979, and Blood Brothers, which was probably the worst movie ever made. It was my second novel. So I always had offers, to write screenplays, because they would read the books and it read like a movie, which is to say it had no depth, or, people said things, people did things, and you turn a page. And, after I'd written about four books and I was like completely sort of tapped out in terms of, novel ideas, I said, well, okay, let me just be a hired pen for a while.
What was that like to do that in Hollywood? Because there are all these grisly stories that you hear about from...
It wasn't so bad, once you
every writer who goes there for the money, yeah. There was Faulkner who went there, yeah. Fitzgerald who went there, and a lot of people who
I never really went there. I mean, that's why God invented Federal Express, so I could stay in New York. Everybody comes through New York, and all I write about is New York or the New York area. So, everything sort of came east for me. I would do that for a while, make some money. And then I would have enough money saved up to go back to not making any money, so I could write a novel and not worry about paying Con Ed. So,
What's the Samaritan about?
Samaritan's about a guy in his mid-40s who grew up in a housing project, much like myself, in an area like the Bronx, who through fate winds up out in L.A. working for a former student as a TV writer, makes a lot of money, gets fired, comes back east with nothing to do and too much money, and he reconnects with all the people that he grew up with in the projects, all of which are in dire straits. And so he tries to find himself by being everybody's benefactor. And one day, one of the recipients goes upside his head, and he almost dies. And he winds up in the hospital. Somebody that he had grown up with had never left the neighborhood, a woman who became a detective, is in charge of finding out which one of these quote-unquote ingrates assaulted him, and he won't tell her. So the book is, who did it and why?
Why won't he tell her?
I'm not going to tell you. You got to read the book.
Got to read the book. The book is Samaritan, and you can meet Richard Price tonight at Tattered Cover Cherry Creek at 7:30. Clockers was made into a film. Spike Lee directed it. When you write a book, it's one thing to write a screenplay. Sea of Love was not yours, was it?
Yeah, it was. Sea of Love was an original script.
Do you ever work on screenplays that are not yours, or will you only work on screenplays now of your stuff?
Oh, I'll do anything but work on my stuff. I mean, you write a novel, it's like 2-3 years of your life, and you're supposed to write the screenplay version. It's like the novel light. you know, I just spent 3 years doing it. Why would I want to, you know, do it as a singing telegram? You know, life's too short. You know, if
like,
somebody else
like
can
the Reader's Digest condensed version.
Yeah, yeah.
So you let somebody else with no feeling for it take over your child.
Yeah, well, this, you know, James Cain, who wrote Postman Always Rings Twice and Double Indemnity, there was a saying, somebody interviewed him and said, well, what do you think of what Hollywood did to your books? And he would always say, they didn't do anything to my books. They're right up on the shelf. And, you know, that's how I feel. You know, the book is mine, the movie, if I'm so lucky, somebody else writes a screenplay and actually make the damn thing, you know.
What didn't you like about Sea of Love? Why was it a better book, a better screenplay?
Well, no, it wasn't a book at all. It was just, I wrote it as an original screenplay. Okay. You know, it's just, you know, on paper you can do anything. You know, when, you know, you can have the world blow up and all it'll cost you is about 2 minutes and about, you know, an ounce of ink. Once you have to make that into sort of a, not to be an oxymoron here, but a film reality, you know, certain practicalities come into play. I tend to write very dark stuff, but, you know, you got a big studio movie, you don't want people leaving the theater depressed or troubled. You know, they have to come out like it's a happy meal, and they should tell all their friends. And so they're invariably going back and pressuring to rewrite, you know, the endings that I put on the scripts and, you know, some of the darker things that happen.
If I were to ask you what you're really good at doing that other writers can't seem to master, how would you answer me?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm known for my dialogue. You know, I have a pretty good ear. And, you know, I also feel I like writing fast. I like books that read fast. You know, as long as, you know, it doesn't sacrifice a sense of depth.
Well, that line that Elmore Leonard used, he says he cuts out the parts that nobody reads.
Yeah, well, yeah, like that, but some, you know, the same but different.
Uh-huh. Why dark? Why so dark?
I don't know. I think people, I mean, you know, without trouble, there's no story. I mean, you know, the most boring interview is between two people who agreed about everything. You know, everything is about trouble, and the way, you know, life tends to work out is not the way. I mean, I write movies so much that when I finally get a chance to write a book with no input or no pressure from anybody else, I'm just gonna play it out the way I see life playing itself out, because there's no demand, you know, to have people, you know, exit a theater, you know, with a smile on their face.
My guest is Richard Price. His new book, which is now out in paperback, is Samaritan. It's gotten wonderful reviews. New Yorker says that yields up not just the familiar blanched moonscape of urban blight, but the inner lives and jackhammering hearts of those who pace and patrol it. You can meet him tonight at Tattered Cover, Cherry Creek, at 7:30. So you grow up in the projects, and somehow you wind up at Columbia in graduate school?
Yeah, you got to understand, I mean, a lot of, you know, when I grew up in the projects, people associate housing projects now with, like, you know, the darkest of urban American experience, with drugs and poverty and, you know, all the social horror statistics, you know, and that might or might not be true depending on which apartment door you're going to knock on. But at the time I was there in the 50s and the mid 60s, you know, it was number one, it was working class. It wasn't subsidized income. Number two, it was racially and religiously and ethnically integrated. I mean, the city placed you. They didn't ask what race you or what religion you're in. There was no private landlord. So it was a very mixed scene. Everybody had a father, you know, everybody had a mother. Divorce was a scandal. Hard drugs was a scandal. It was a pretty knockabout functional place. And all my friends wound up in college. But, you know, once again, we're talking maybe 40 years ago.
So you know you're going to write, and you go to college, and the first two things are snapped up quickly. And what
I had to write them first.
Yeah, you had to write them, but, you know, most people write things and nothing happens, and sometimes they write them for their whole life. And sometimes they're even really talented, brilliant writers who don't get discovered, if they get discovered at all, except posthumously. So you're young, and you've had this richness of experience, I think, in the projects. and you write these things and snapped up. And how does that affect you? What does it do to you as a writer and as a human being? Does it happen too quickly?
No. And because
you're only,
things,
what, in your 20s when this happens?
Yeah, well, the thing is, if you come from a place like working class environment, I was the first person in my family to go to college. And in my generation, our parents grew up during the Depression, and they were very haunted by the specter of poverty. So if your kid's going to college, the whole point of going to college is to study something at the end of which there's a job interview. There's a job security. You want to be a writer. It's like, what the hell is that? You mean you're going to be a waiter? You mean you're going to be a bartender? You're going to be a cab writer and take, you know, creative writing classes at night? So there wasn't a lot of validation for that stuff. So, you know, I took everything I had to go to, like, say, a Master of Fine Arts program as opposed to law school like everybody else. But I said, I'll give myself 2 years and see what happens. At the end of those 2 years, I got the book published. I don't know if I would have had the stamina or the determination to stay with trying to be a writer for 10 more years. You know, I'll never know. But for me, it was very lucky for me to get published so young, because I don't know if I would have stuck with it.
You taught at a number of universities, Yale, NYU, Columbia. At what point in your life did you do that? Did you do that when you were just starting out to get some kind of money coming in? Did you do it later when you had even greater success?
The first teaching jobs I had when I was still writing my first book, English as a Second Language was this brand new subject, you know, in New York. There's all these community colleges that had a large Hispanic population. And, you know, a lot of these kids, they could study biology, but they didn't have the English. So ESL became like sort of a boom industry, and nobody ever had any training. So anybody could get a job as an ESL instructor. And so I did that, you know, but it was like you got paid by the hour. So that's the first teaching I ever did. And then once I was published, I could get a job teaching creative writing. But I never did that full time. You're sort of the guest of the semester, and then you're gone.
What does that do to your writing? Because I love the line from Gore Vidal. He says, teaching has ruined more writers than drink. Is this a good thing to do if you're a writer? Does it enrich your own experience?
It's hard to write and teach at the same time. It's sort of like, you know, if you're a professional tennis player, but you spend 8 hours a day, you know, giving tennis instruction, then you try to play at your own speed at the end of those 8 hours. You know, all of a sudden, you know, your whole game is off because, you know, you've been lobbing balls for 8 hours, you know, to your students. It's time consuming. And, you know, like your brain is revved at a much lower rev. I mean, you know, you're dealing with, you know, issues of writing that you don't think about that much anymore, you know, because you're talking to, you know, people that are just starting out.
Mickey Spillane said when he wanted to earn more money, he went out and bought paper and pencil. This was pre-computer. And it was it was inexpensive to do that. And he could write something that made him presumably a lot of money, or at least a decent amount of money. If I were to ask you, for people who are listening, who want to write, and you have taught, and you have been a really successful mm-hmm. writer, what would you say to them besides just do it?
Well, the thing is, you cannot write unless you have a story. A lot of people start writing because they want to write, but they don't have anything in mind, and they think if they just, you know, sort of spontaneously combust on paper, something will happen. But I think if you want to write, you have to have a story you really need to tell, that you're kind of burning to tell. If you have that story, that's 50% of it. The other advice I'd give, sometimes writing classes are okay because you need to be in a room with other people that are in your situation, and you can either support or destroy each other. But the other advice I'd give people is you don't necessarily have to start at the beginning of something. A lot of people are intimidated by, you know, okay, what's the first sentence? Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, there's a joke. Well, first dates are so awkward. Why can't people start out on second dates? Well, you can start on second chapters, third chapters. Just if you know roughly a story you want to tell, just think of a scene or an exchange between characters anywhere along the line of the story. And write that first. You can always go back from there or forward from there. But, you know, the most important thing is to break the ice, just to start anywhere.
And where you have some passion. If you suddenly can hear a dialogue between two people, or you can imagine it.
Yeah, whatever's easiest for you. But, I mean, the difference, if you have a book in your head and you haven't started writing anything yet, it's like staring at the water and then putting on a scuba mask and dipping your head in the water, and then you see what's under there. It's like putting pen to paper is like putting on the snorkel mask and looking under the water, and then you see what's there. If you don't break the ice that way, you're always looking at the water from like the glare and the sun. You've got to figure out the easiest way to get yourself to start. Fool yourself into starting something.
Who do you read? Who do you like?
I read so much I can't remember who the last two books I've read, and I probably can't remember the book that's on my
nightstand. Do you read in the same genre that you write? And if I were to ask you what the genre, what would you call it? Because they're calling it one of your books a hard-edged thriller. Is that a fair description?
Is it not
fair to even pick a genre?
Well, I'm not a genre writer. I mean, obviously, I write urban. I mean, you know, the arena that I write in is, you know, urban America. And the last couple of books, I've used the structure of some kind of criminal investigation. But I do that because I found out that if, you know, not to sound like Edna that much, but I found out if you look at a homicide jacket or any kind of criminal investigation jacket, you have a chronological in order everything that's been done, you know, after a crime has been committed. And you have all the voices in the world. You have an investigator, you have a witness, you have a relative, you have the wrong suspect, you have the right suspect, you have the kids of the victim. You know, you have like so many voices. And for me, it seemed like a natural spine to tell a story, just a chronological unfolding of the world as it comes into this crime folder. You know, all those disparate voices. It's a microcosm of life in the urban, in urban America, you know, on both sides of the economic, racial, social, whatever. Everybody gets in there.
Unlike the movies that have to have a happy ending, books don't.
I don't go out of my way.
Fiction doesn't.
Well, sometimes, you know, I mean, I don't go out of my way. I mean, most people, most writers I know, they don't think about terms in those terms like happy ending, sad ending. You know,
they just tell the story, and I would think that they would think in terms of honesty. What was honest about what fit with the story?
Well, I think that's what separates out, you know, like a lot of the genre writers. I mean, it's almost. You know, in a lot of the genre work, the good will get rewarded and the bad will get punished. You know, and that's not life very
well,
often.
Well, or in the romance novels, you always get the guy.
Well, you're asking the wrong person about that.
I've never read a romance, but we had an author on who has been very successful. This was in Chicago Book Expo, and she informed me that about 50%, 55% of all novels sold are romance novels, which I was just amazed to hear. I was amazed to hear that statistic.
Well, that's kind of, well, you know, I mean, I've never read one, but it seems to me that, like, it's like reading without reading or something, or writing without really writing or something.
We have just a few seconds left. What do you want to leave us with?
Just I hope people come to the reading tonight.
What are you going to do, read and sign?
Yeah, I'm going to do a little sand dancing afterwards. Yeah.
Richard Price, thank you so much for joining us. The book is Samaritan, now out in paperback. You can meet him at Tattered Cover, Cherry Creek, at 7:30 tonight. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm worried that there are things that are going to burn
I had butterflies. I was anxious.
Open house and somebody else's job.
I had to constantly be meeting people.
My mom was always on the phone.
I figured I could sell it on my own to save a little bit of money.
She was just wacko.
I don't even know enough to know that I don't know.
If you're thinking about selling your home, you need some help. Ask your agent if they're a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
For sale by owner, but not by this owner.
A message from your local, state, and national realtor associations.
Allergy relief plus Advil for sinus pain. Advanced Advil Allergy Sinus. Stop allergies that hurt.
Yeah.
The Denver Film Society is proud to present the Americana Film Series at the Stars Film Center, featuring great Americana films through the summer, featuring The Russians Are Coming, The Russians Are Coming Tonight. Denver playwright and director Terry Dodd is your host for this Americana film classic. The film starts at 7 and tickets will be available at the Stars Film Center box office, part of the Americana Film Series from the Denver Film Society.
Well, we... I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Tuesday edition of Enid Live. And that was Richard Price. You can meet him tonight at a Tattered Cover, Cherry Creek, 7:30. His new book is Samaritan. It's now out in paperback. And Edna Buchanan is going to be at Boulder. The High Crimes, I think, is the bookstore. And that's on Pearl Street, and she'll be there at 7 o'clock. I want to thank everybody for all their help today. I'm going to be out tomorrow because I'm in jury duty, and Edna wanted to know, is it criminal, is it civil? And I can't really tell from the summons, but I'll be there tomorrow. And I hope that I'm back with you on Thursday. And then Thursday late, Joe and I head for Aspen, maybe not so late. It'll depend on what happens with jury duty. And we will be broadcasting live from Food & Wine Magazine Classic at Aspen, and I think this is the 22nd, if I'm not mistaken, and we have a lot of terrific people that are lined up, a lot of Food & Wine people, and all the reporters from Denver are going to be there. I remember seeing Penny Parker there last year, and I see that Bill Husted said he's going to be up there. So it'll be lots of fun, and it'll be kind of juicy, and all the gossip I'll be sharing with you along with all the food stuff. And if there's anything going on in terms of news and news talk and politics, we'll be on that as well. Joe and I will be up there bringing you all the juicy stuff. I want to thank Darren Gabbert today, who kept us on the air. And Joe Anderson, you did a great job, as always. I really want to thank you. I want to thank all of you who called and listened. Let's do it again. Do it tomorrow, noon to 3. Bill Thorpe will be in for me. I'll be on jury duty thinking good thoughts about you. I'll be thinking good thoughts about me. And I'll see you back here, I know, on Friday for sure, and I hope on Thursday as well. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to Enid Live. Doug Kellett is up next on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hear Colorado talk. This is Colorado's locally owned and operated AM 1150 KNRC, Englewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 3 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Ron Kilgore. An evacuation is underway at New York's JFK Airport. Airport authorities say they ordered Terminal 1 shut down after a possibly explosive device was detected in an X-ray machine. The evacuation was ordered as a precaution. Calling him a killer and a thug, President Bush wants some guarantees that Saddam Hussein doesn't fall through the diplomatic cracks when Iraq's new interim government takes over.
I just want to make sure that when sovereignty is transferred, Saddam Hussein stays in jail. That's just a matter of discussion and understanding the procedures. That's all we're saying. I'm confident that when it's all said and done, he will stay in jail.
The U.S. is scheduled to formally transfer governing authority to the Iraqis on June 30th. Consumer prices took off in May, up 0.6%, the biggest one-month jump in over 3 years. But Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan does not see any serious inflationary concerns in the near future. He expects interest rates increases will be gradual. I'm Ron Kilgore, NBC News Radio.
All right, people, we need new computers, and they're pretty expensive, so we're cutting back. If you have to travel overnight, try sleeping in a park. Think of it as a business adventure. Next, office supplies. Instead of using tape or glue, see if anyone's chewing gum. And yes, we're cutting toilet paper.